This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
No D, DiPietro probably, God knows, probably 3 feet under a pile of turkey right now. The C wasn't even with us on Wednesday, so obviously he's taken off the Friday for an extended long weekend. And they turned to me and they said, Dave, listen. They said, we can always count on you. Can we count on you again to put together three glorious hours? That's right, I said it, three glorious hours of sports talk radio the day after Thanksgiving. And I said to management, I said, I will do it, but I'm going to need a guarantee. They said, what? And you name it. I said, I need the Cowboys to get hammered at home. And the power that ESPN has, they said, done. And
I
said, yeah. I said, that's a guarantee you can make for me because that's what I need. As the Giants are in wonderful 3-7 position in this unbelievable division right now, I said, is that really something that will happen? They said, done. I didn't even know it was going to be 41-16. That was just a blessing, but wow. So let's get going. 800-919-3776. Lot to do. ESPN Radio is always presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on DCR appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're going to do a typical Friday. RJ Bell is going to join us at 10 o'clock. Paul Feinbaum at 10:30. We'll get to a lot of your calls. Well, I mean, a lot of things to get into. This Ravens situation is just awful. Hear about your Thanksgiving. You know, I'm realizing yesterday, and we did a nice thing at mine. It was just the four of us, my sensational family, my wife and two boys, and we had a really nice time, and we watched the Cowboys lose, and the boys worked out. I didn't work out. I'm not working out on Thanksgiving, but they worked out, and then we went around the table and said, like, what we're thankful for. And so we spent a good 10 minutes of, I'm thankful for this, and I appreciate this, and I realized at one point we may spoil the children when Ben says, you know, I'm thankful that I really pretty much get everything I need. And I thought to myself, you really do. And that's what we do for our kids. But I was thinking to myself last night, I'm thankful for you guys. You know, I'm thankful that we have an outlet to be able to talk sports and more, because we're not solely sports talk. I mean, we are sports talk, but we bring you into our lives, and I'm really thankful for that. So would love to hear from you today. 800-919-3776 and about your Thanksgivings and what you're thankful for. You know, really, I mean, this has been for everyone, not just me who's had personal loss and difficulty in 2020. This has been a horrendous year for everyone. I don't think there's anybody out there like, boy, 2020, what a great year. I mean, you for the most part, we could not spend it with all those that we love yesterday for one reason or the other, right? We just couldn't get together. And I don't know if you like this, but, you know, I see people on social media posting, you know, gatherings of, oh, 18 of us got together. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, we take it seriously, and the four of us got together, and that was it. But, you know, let's just chat today. We'll chat about what you're thankful for, with sports or more, or if how much you appreciate the station, or you angered at me for whatever reason. Or, you know, we're just here. We're doing a show on Black Friday, and we're just here like we always are. 800-919-3776. So, listen, yesterday the goal for me sports-wise was I need the Cowboys to lose, right? Because we've done all the numbers and the math, and it's a horrendous division, and the Giants are, let's be fair, they're right there. They are right there. And if I asked you right now, hey, you know what, who's playing the best in the NFCs? The answer is the New York Football Giants are the right now. I mean, listen, Washington stinks. Washington's not good. Dallas is, I mean, you know the amazing thing is every single game that you watch, you change your opinion on who the worst team in the division actually is. Like, Dallas gives you a tremendous win on Sunday. They go up to Minnesota, a team that needs the game. Dalton plays well. They outscore Minnesota. They run the ball effectively, and they beat the Vikings. And then you think to yourself, you know what? Dallas has clearly gotten past whatever it is, and their defense is playing better, and they're a better version. And then you look at their schedule, and they're the favorite to win. You come out of that game yesterday thinking to yourself, I can't believe Dallas is this bad. Like, they gave you such a horrendous performance in every phase of the game. And then you think to yourself, well, Washington, they stink. Giants beat them twice. Alex Smith is not good. Their offense is very pedestrian. They're not good. And then they go out and do what they did yesterday, going to 4-7, which right now seems like an unbelievable record. And then you look at Philadelphia, and they're terrible. I mean, Carson Wentz literally is a turnover machine. There's not a game that you watch of Carson Wentz where he's not turning the ball over time after time after time. So you think to yourself, why not? Whatever team it is that you root for, why not my team? I root for the Giants, obviously. And we're in New York here, obviously. And my take is, why not the Giants? And I don't want to hear that, well, Dave, I don't want to go 6-10, and I don't want a record that's going to, you know, now preclude us from picking 8th overall. You know what? Give me a break. The Giants haven't won this division in a decade. A decade. Would I rather go 13-3 and have the one seed? Absolutely. But if it means I go 6-10 or 7-9 and host a playoff game, you know what? So be it. So be it. What's the old phrase? What do they call the guy that finished last in his class? His medical class? Doctor? You know what? What do they call the team that finishes first in their division? Division champs. So, who cares? And this take of, well, you really want the 7 pick because there's this linebacker. And give me a break. It's such a stupid take. It's such a dumb take. And the Giants are right there. Now, I want to spend a minute. And we'll get into the Giants and the Bengals. And you know, it's not even Ryan Finley. Was it Brand? What's his name, Santiago? Brandon Allen? Is that the kid
That's
making
your
the
guy.
Stuff?
Former Bronco.
Isn't that the Flash?
I think Barry Allen
Barry
is the Flash.
Allen is the Flash. Right. Well, that's good, because if this guy ran like the Flash, that would be bad. But Barry Allen is the Flash. But Brandon Allen, a guy that made a couple starts for the Broncos, that is like the definition of a journeyman quarterback, is going to be starting for a bad Cincinnati team. The only thing that made Cincinnati concerning was the fact that their quarterback was scary, because I stand by it. Joe Burrow is terrific and will be terrific if and when he recovers from that devastating injury. And by the way, Santiago, how are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
I mean, from the football game, Thanksgiving was great. Got no complaints. Ate well. Saw my girlfriend's family. Saw my mom's family. And it was good.
So you ate beautifully. You got to mingle a little bit. You saw people that you liked. You spent a lot of time with your girlfriend. You didn't have to work. All of it was pointing up until 4:30.
Actually, I think all that was going down around 4:30. To be honest with you, I was not as focused on the game as I usually am.
No. I'm not going to let you weasel your way out and tell me that 41-16 devastating loss didn't cause you great pain yesterday. I'm not going to let you do it.
When the fake punt happened, I said, wow, that is a stupid, 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 stupid call. And I shrugged and continued eating my turkey.
I have a hard time believing that. But I'm glad you had a nice Thanksgiving. And to you and your family and your girlfriend's family and everyone, we, of course, wish you the most glorious and wonderful of Thanksgivings. But we need to get into that Cowboys game yesterday, because that was a disaster. And all you Giants fans and all you Jets fans that were of the mindset that Mike McCarthy... Now, look, Adam Gase is a disaster. And Adam Gase has proven that he's just not a capable head coach in this league. But for all you people that were banging the drum for Mike McCarthy, you might want to retire that drum.
Yeah, McCarthy might be a fraud.
He's terrible. I mean, you could have taken any 10-year-old who plays Madden and said to him yesterday, fourth and inches, like inches, not fourth and a foot, fourth and maybe 4 inches at your own 30. What's the play call that you want to go with to try and pick that up? First of all, do you want to go for that? And if he says yes, you know what, because it's Madden and you want to be aggressive, yes. You would never run that play. It was a horrendous play call. It was mind-boggling that you would drop back and throw a 10-yard slant to CeeDee Lamb. Will never make any sense. And I heard people say, well, there was interference. It doesn't matter. Interference or not, it looked like there might have been. You need inches. Later in the game, when you were fourth and inches, what play did you call? Oh, quarterback sneak. How novel. What a brilliant idea. That's what you do there. So that was the first one that you're scratching your head. Second quarter at your own 30. Signs of desperation. But the one that you'll never get over, and you shouldn't, is fourth quarter, 12 minutes left, down by 4. Fourth and, what was it, Santiago? It was fourth and a good distance,
fourth and
right?
Ten. It was fourth and 10.
Fourth and 10. And they go out there and run this asinine fake punt. And at that moment, honestly, Dallas should have turned to the sideline and said, guys, you know what? Let's go. Because the moment that failed, and to have the audacity, if you're Mike McCarthy, to be sitting there in the postgame and defending it and say that it was a good play call, it just wasn't executed well. I mean, we get that every week from Adam Gase, don't we? Mike McCarthy's terrible. And the more you watch him, and the more you watch this team be completely ill-prepared, the more obvious it is that he was the problem and not Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay, at least to me. Because what he has done with this team, they're 3-8. They shouldn't even be 3-8. Dallas should be sitting here at 2-9, best case scenario. They should have lost the Atlanta game. They could have easily lost the game to the Giants, and then maybe you could even say they should have lost the game. And what was their other win?
Atlanta? You're talking
no,
about?
No, I gave you Atlanta and the Giants.
The Giants and Minnesota last week.
And Minnesota. So that was a good win. That was a terrific win. But this is a team that could be sitting here at 1-10. They're bad. They're a bad football team. They're a poorly coached, very poorly coached football team. So for all you people that sit here and say, the Giants should have gone after Mike McCarthy, think again. The Jets should have gone after Mike McCarthy, think again. I think he's, oh my God. I can't, to be going for it in that position, it's an utter embarrassment. An unmitigated embarrassment. So guys, let's look at this and where we are now. There is a good chance that we start the radio show on Tuesday morning. And Rick and Chris will be back. And we are talking about the first place New York football Giants. So let's walk through the machinations. What needs to happen for that to be the case? Two things now. Giants beat Cincinnati, which, and again, you never want to get too far ahead of yourself. You think there's a very good chance of that happening, right? And Seattle going into Philadelphia and beating the Eagles. Could that happen? Absolutely, it could. If those two things happen, you're looking at the Giants a game ahead of Dallas, a half a game ahead of Philadelphia, tied with Washington, having swept them five games to go. Three words I will say to you. Why not us? And that's where we are. That's exactly where we are. So I think you ate well yesterday. I'm hoping that you got to spend time with at least part of your family that you're close with and enjoyed spending time with. And you got to see what I think almost everyone enjoys on a Thanksgiving. That is another Cowboys devastating loss. Because last year, what was it? That Buffalo destroyed them. This year, Washington destroys them. And Washington's not even good. They're not. I mean, the rookie running back is decent. Alex Smith is fine. Tell me, and I said this to Santiago, he's like, yeah, yep, absolutely. Every time, and I never feel like this with any player in any sport ever. Every single time this guy gets hit, I'm like, oh, no, be careful. It's Alex Smith. Just gentle. Like, I don't know if you remember, he was sacked once earlier in the game. And not the offsides from Lawrence, the one prior to that where he got
hit. Yeah, where Gregory got him.
He got hit low. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. Like, I have the, almost like it's my kid. Like, oh, God, please no. Just, it's terrifying every single time. So, I don't know if you feel like that, but every time this guy gets hit, I'm like, oh, no, please. Because he's, and I don't like Washington. I never liked him. I can't stand their owner, and there's a million things about the Washington football team that I don't like. But how great of a story is he? Like, you forget about comeback player of the year. He's comeback player of the decade, in the history of the comeback. There was concern that literally 2 years ago to the day that he wasn't going to make it. There was tremendous concern. Odds were distinctly in the favor that he wasn't going to keep the leg and that there was a good chance that he wasn't going to make it. And here we are 2 years later, and he's starting and playing well. Now, they don't throw the ball downfield, but regardless of that, playing well on Thanksgiving Day, good for him. Great for him. And you know what? At this point, I don't take it for granted. If we're able to get football, good for us. Right? Because you look at what's going on around the NFL. Lamar Jackson tested positive last night. So he's got it. They had to move that. The one game that you really wanted to watch, the game that you figure, you know what, I'll be in a turkey coma and I will put my feet up on the couch and watch Steelers and Ravens. That didn't happen. It's all over the place as far as Baltimore is concerned. I don't know if we're going to get to see that game this weekend. All of a sudden, it feels like the NFL, it's bad. It's really, really bad. I'm reading on Twitter right now, Mike Kliss, who covers the Denver Broncos, says that, here we go, statement for the Broncos. Following confirmed positive COVID-19 test results from one player and two members, staff members, the Broncos have closed their training center today with the team's safety in mind. The Broncos will continue preparations for Sunday's game remotely with virtual meetings and have postponed today's practice, working closely with medical experts, and the league office will take all the steps necessary to ensure the well-being of the players, coaches, and staff. It's bad. It's bad in this country, and it's bad in the NFL. So when you get a game, don't take it for granted. Just be happy that, in fact, that game is being played. 800-919-3776. Line up the calls. I want to talk to you guys today. I want to talk about Thanksgiving. I want to talk about the pumpkin pie. I want to talk about the Cowboys. I want to talk about the Mike McCarthy coaching situation, how awful he is. I want to talk about the fact that the NFL is in real jeopardy here and may have to add a week 18. And how can they play the Ravens Steelers game? The Ravens facility is shut down until Monday, and they're supposed to play that game Sunday at 1:15. How? And forget about the fact that the Ravens are devastated. Obviously, the Steelers, you have to imagine, win that game. But how can they play that game now? And what bad form is it from Pittsburgh? And I get it. You want to play. You're geared up to play. It should happen. Guys, and we said this back in March, 2020 is different. You have to adjust. And for the game to be postponed from Thursday and pushed to Sunday, I have to have Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool going to Twitter, going to social media, and complaining about it. Really? Be better. Be better. They didn't cancel or postpone the game because they wanted Lamar Jackson to play or that Dobbins couldn't play. That's not why they postponed the game. They postponed the game because there's an outbreak within Baltimore, that the Ravens organization is devastated with this virus right now. They can't play the game, and they shouldn't play the game right now. And I don't know that they will be able to play the game. And then what happens? I don't know. Now, how about this? And again, this would stink if you're a Steelers fan. What happens if you have to add an eighth team in each conference? What happens if the Steelers go undefeated and still have to play a first-round game? Could happen. I don't hear anybody complaining about it. I mean, really, this is the world we live in right now. We've done a lot of this to ourselves, and this is the world that we live in right now. 800-919-3776. Let's get to a couple calls, because I want to incorporate a lot of calls today. R.J. Bell's going to join us at 10. And Andy from Merrick, I believe, he's ready to roll on a Football Friday. So he's going to join us in his normal 9:53 spot. R.J. Bell at 10. Paul Feinbaum, 10:30. And I'm taking you till noon. Forget about 11. No two-hour show. Three-hour show today. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, lead us off on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
How are you? And good. Before we get to the football, you're talking about thankful and Thanksgiving. Hope everybody did the best with the holiday. And, you know, it had a different meaning yesterday. My wife and I made a video. We sent it to people close to us, especially who couldn't attend and be at our house for dinner. It was just my wife and I. But we made the best of it. But very grateful that our family and close friends and all our friends seem to be healthy, and that's really the only thing that matters right now. Everything else is secondary. So if you have your health, that's the most important thing. And, you know, now getting to the toy department with sports, man, oh, man, was I wrong. And I'll be the first to admit when I'm wrong. I was banging the table for Mike McCarthy.
He's terrible.
I think Gase is a better coach.
You know what? I got to tell you, that coaching yesterday, and you hear him defend himself. It was so Gase-like in the postgame, wasn't it, of these were the right calls. Ira, you're down 4 points against a bad football team in the fourth quarter with 12 minutes to play, and you're going for it on 4th and 10 with a inane fake punt?
It was insanity. Just I couldn't believe what they did. And it's good for you. I mean, I'm happy for you. You know, hopefully the Giants take care of business. They don't do what the Jets did when they went into Cincinnati 0-11 last year and they lost to the Bengals. But and for the NFL, man, it's getting hairy now.
Yep.
Listen, if they have to move the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game to Tuesday, or even if they have to extend the season an extra week, they got to do what they have to do.
They got to do what they got to do. And I don't understand why. I really don't. And maybe someone smarter can call me and tell me why. If they move, because I'm envisioning that you're not going to have a full Super Bowl crowd down in Florida. If it means taking away the week in between the Super Bowl and the championship game, or if it means moving the Super Bowl, or if it means adding a week 18, like, who cares this year?
No. Everything is on the table right now because of what we're dealing with. Once again, everybody's safety is the most important thing. So, listen, good luck with the Giants this weekend, and I'll throw you something. And, you know, if this happens to work out, I can't wait to hear Rick with you guys on Monday morning. I'm going Jets 23, Dolphins 20.
Really?
Upset the Dolphins. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
would pain yeah, me I because I'm taking the Dolphins in my survivor pool. So and I'm nervous uh-huh. about that game. You think the Jets win this game, huh?
Yeah, I do. I just have a funny feeling. You know, they've played tough in the second half the last 2 weeks. It's been close. But I'll tell you one thing. It looks like Donald's going to start. And if he does go, if they put up 10 or 13 points, that's going to be a big indictment on him since Flacco just put up 27 points 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and Flacco and the Jets' offense looked good against New England, and they moved the ball against the Chargers in the second half as well. Ira, happy Thanksgiving, and I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, you too, man.
Yep, good stuff. 800-919-3776. We'll take one more quick one, and then we'll take a break and come back and get to a lot more of your calls and continue the conversation about the NFL and where we stand. And my God, Ira's so right. I mean, we all – and again, you never know. And I still think it might have been better. But we were banging the drum. Oh, Mike McCarthy. And I never wanted him. I got a tweet yesterday saying you were banging the drum for Mike McCarthy with the Giants. No, I wanted Matt Rhule with the Giants. And I stand by that. And if you would have had Matt Rhule, I still would have been fine with it. So Rhule or Judge are fine. McCarthy, no. Gase, no. McCarthy's terrible. I mean, there's no defense of this, guys. There's not. You say, well, they're without their starting quarterback and Zach Martin left. And I get that. And you make excuses for that. The game management is completely inexcusable. Al in East Brunswick. Al, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, Al. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody's well at the station, safe and well. You guys are the best. Excellent show. I love to listen to you all the time. You're fantastic.
Thank you so much. Very, very kind of you.
Like you, I'm a huge football fan. I'm like Ira, I'm more of a Jet fan, but I do like the Giants a lot. I love what they have going for them right now. Mm. But, you know, I'm almost taking a step back, you know, and saying to myself, they look, you know, if the NFL would have taken a step back and looked what the NBA and the NHL did, and to a certain degree, I guess, with Major League Baseball, and said, you know, I don't know how semantically they could have done this, but maybe, you know, pick an area, let's say like somewhere in Florida where there's a couple of stadiums, and somehow you could bubble these teams and shorten the season because you knew
but
it was
Al,
about
Al, think about this now. Think about this. NBA, yeah. All in. If you're including everybody, right? You're at what? Players, coaches, 20?
Yeah. 20,
22?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. NFL, you're what? 80? 80?
Yeah.
85? 90?
Yeah.
So now I'm I'm talking about bubbling 3,000 people.
It's difficult, but you know what? And I definitely thought of that, but there had to be something to do because you know you can see how it's spiraling out of control right now. Who knows what we're going to have in front of us going forward? Hopefully we have it, but there could have been maybe something, maybe shorten the season in light of what's going on. I don't know, but there could have been a different plan because there's no way this is going to last.
It doesn't feel like it right now,
negative.
Does it?
I hate it to be negative, you know?
Yeah,
but
Al, I appreciate
like
the phone
you.
Call. Thank you, and a happy Thanksgiving. No, it doesn't feel like it. I mean, I tell you the news about Denver. Baltimore is a disaster. I mean, every week, and it's worse, and it's more, and it's continuous. I mean, Lamar Jackson's not playing in this game if this game is played this week. Then they're supposed to play next Thursday. So how's that going to happen? So they can't play Thursday. And then what? So I don't know if you swap them out of that Thursday game and push them back to Sunday and then move a different game into Thursday, but we're not heading in the right direction. And the country, numbers-wise, virus-wise, is not heading in the right direction. It's bad, and it's getting worse. So I don't know. And you're right, the NFL hasn't really had a plan. They've been fortunate to this point, and it feels like you're heading in the wrong direction. So it is concerning, absolutely. 800-919-3776, Santiago. You would agree that Mike McCarthy has done a horrendous
fraud.
Job, right?
He is a fraud. Complete fraud.
So you dislike him?
I feel like we were lied to. And I think he's a little too smug about it, too, in regards to, oh, that was the right play.
Like, it's no, the 3-8.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, it's Gase-like, isn't it? The three and eight in a division where the leading team has four wins. I mean, you look at the wins from these teams. Look at who Washington. And listen, be happy, be excited. You're a fan of the Washington football team. You're 4-7. You're in first place at the moment. Be happy about that. You beat Dallas twice. You beat Philadelphia and you beat Cincinnati, right? The Giants have beaten Washington twice and Philadelphia. Philadelphia tied Cincinnati. What has Philly done? They beat the Giants once.
Well, I could throw out the Philly game just because they threw out a guy who has no business playing quarterback in the NFL, unfortunately. That game just doesn't. If they had thrown out Garrett Gilbert in that one, maybe they win.
Maybe they win. But the point is, I mean, you're 3-8, and this isn't even a regular 3-8. You're 3-8 in the division that's legendarily awful.
Yeah, it's historic.
We've never seen this team before awful.
This was a team that was supposed to be better and competing, and they had dreams of Super Bowl. Now, granted, they lost a lot of people.
But this is no excuse. But 3-8 you shouldn't be 3-8.
No.
You should still if you're Dallas and you were what you thought you were, you should still have won this division.
You should be hovering around 500 at least.
You could be 5-6 and have a stranglehold on this division.
But this is what they are. They're running out an offensive line that's full of backups. They're running out a defensive line that's not good, especially against the run. Their secondary is dropping like flies, and the guys they put out there are just bad. They're just bad players.
And can we say this? Mm-hmm. Is it the time where we can say giving Ezekiel Elliott that extension was a bad move, or no? We're not there yet.
No, in hindsight, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
And not only Ezekiel Elliott, but giving Jalen Smith an extension was bad. And letting a guy like Byron Jones, who was a shutdown corner, he didn't get a lot of interceptions, but he was out there shutting guys down.
You think
they would like having Byron Jones right now?
I think they'd love having Byron Jones, and I think that Elliott, correct me if I'm wrong, he was never a fumbling machine, was he?
No, he was never a fumbling machine, but he would have one once in a while. Like this was, but this is beyond.
But this
like,
is now. This I mean, he's in Tiki Barber territory.
Yeah, this is bad. He needs Tom Coughlin.
He needs Tom Coughlin. Yeah, well, that's a coach. 800-919-3776. So our jumping off point today is the NFL and the Giants, and we have a lot of things to get into. Take you till noon. 800-919-3776. Of course, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on DCRP are via the Shell Pendula Performance Line. Rothenberg Solo on Black Friday with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. You say, why are they playing Rocky IV? There's a genius behind Santiago. See, Santiago is so damaged from what's going on with the Cowboys, and understandably so, that he's looking for other ways to keep himself engaged. And he started to look up movie premieres. And on this very day, 1985, Raymond found that Rocky beat the Russian. Rocky beat a juiced-up Ivan Drago on this very day in 1985.
Rocky single-handedly ended the Cold War.
Was the premiere of Rocky IV. Now, mind you, I remember going to the theater the day it opened, 1985, 12-year-old Dave Rothenberg. 12 and a half, actually, at the time. Watching the movie and people in the crowd cheering during the movie like they were at a live boxing match.
I can only imagine at the time, just like the place the country was in, the year it was, and just the way people would have been into that particular scene. I mean, there's a reason Sylvester Stallone went in that direction, so kudos to him.
It was a good movie. You know, and maybe this is bad parenting on my part, Santiago. I don't think my kids have seen any of the Rocky movies
yet. Oh, no. How?
I don't think they know, and I don't think it interests them all that much, and I'll have to remedy that at some point in the very, very near future. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to say that I've done a bad job, I think that's fair as a parent. Failed in that capacity. Look down on me.
I feel like the Rockies movies are something that everyone can relate to, young and old, no?
I just think they just spend so much time on their iPad watching whatever they want to watch, and they probably don't, you know, encounter a Rocky movie. Like, they've seen all. Alex has watched Cobra Kai like 5 times.
Did he watch the original Karate Kid?
Yes, he's watched the original Karate Kid and Cobra Kai like 5 times.
Okay, so I've got to think that.
I don't have the answer for you. I don't know. I do not know.
You're going to have to introduce him to it at some point. I got to think if he likes the Karate Kid, he's going to like Rocky.
Have you seen that commercial with John Kreese? Like the guy from Cobra Kai?
Yeah, actually, yes, yes.
Yes. So every single time that pops on, Alex is like, Johnny Kreese! Like, he gets so excited. So, yeah, I think it would be similar. Like, he'd watch Rocky and he would fall in love with that. It's. I agree with you. It's a bad job of parenting by me.
No, you got to remedy at some point.
We will remedy. Let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. By the way, I'm taking you till noon. Ian O'Connor, a special edition of Ian O'Connor from noon to 3. And then the concern from Kay and LaGreca, Rosenberg solo from 3 to 7. I think he'll be fine. And I think he'll be in a very good mood today because of what his Washington football team did yesterday. But Rosenberg solo, 3 to 7. Let's go to Ethan in Virginia. Ethan, happy Thanksgiving. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Happy Thanksgiving. Good morning to you. Sorry, I'm just cleaning up from the Thanksgiving mishugana last night. A couple years ago, you told a story about six-year-olds playing baseball that I think should be played every Christmas Eve. So, because it was
What was the story?
It was a story about your kid, like a walk-off, you know, 5-6-year-old. It was a couple years ago. And it was just, I remember sitting there enthralled about five-year-olds playing baseball. It was amazing.
So I don't think it was five-year-old. I think his team, when they were, I think he was.
Oh, maybe they were older.
8 or 9 won the entire championship. And it was,
yes.
It was thrilling. Yes, that might have been the story. So you were on the edge of your seat for that story.
In a similar vein, I want you to set the scene for how you're going to watch this Sunday's game, a meaningful Giants game in, you know, Thanksgiving. I want you to set the scene. Are you going jersey? Are you going sweatshirt? What are you eating? Leftovers?
Well, eating has never been part of the fabric of a football Sunday for me. Like that's not a big deal to me. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to probably go to Old Reliable. We're going to put on a Carl Banks jersey, 58. Because here's the thing. Nobody loved Lawrence Taylor more than me back in the day. Ethan, no one. Like, I love Lawrence Taylor. Could tell you anything about him. 6'3", 248, drafted out of University of North Carolina, right? Like from Williamsburg, Virginia. His friends growing up were the fellas. I used to read his books before the start of every season. Loved Lawrence Taylor. But at the time, everybody, you'd go to a Giants game, and it would be everybody, 80%, would have Taylor jerseys. And I thought to myself, you know, I can't be everybody. I got to be my own guy. So I bought a Carl Banks, who was great, by the way. Love Carl Banks. Great player. Bought a Carl Banks jersey. That's my staple now. I can go to Eli. I can go to Tiki. I actually have a Seahorn jersey. But I think I'm going to go to Carl Banks. And then what I'm going to do, food doesn't matter. It's unimportant. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the DirecTV package on in the living room, where there's a screen where you can put 8 games and watch them all at once, and then the Giants on its own TV in the kitchen, focus on the Giants, and then run back and forth from the kitchen to the living room as there's breaks in the Giants game. So that will be my setup for Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend.
You got it, Ethan. Now, how about that, Santiago? I told a story years ago about my son's Little League team, and Ethan recalls it and calls back in wanting to reflect on that story.
You have that effect on listeners.
I mean, do you recognize the talent that you are allowed to work with on a day-in, day-out basis?
Let's not get carried away now.
I mean, every time you get a coffee from the guy out in front, he tells you the adoration and respect that he has for me.
That is true. That is true.
Right?
Catalin is the guy's name. Nice guy.
And he loves me.
He loves you.
RJ Bell is sending me a message.
What's RJ Bell saying?
He's saying, "Are we doing the hit today?"
And we absolutely are.
Yeah, he said, "I'm 99% sure you're off today." We wanted to confirm.
Tell him I'll call him.
You call him?
Yeah, because we don't have the proper equipment for him to do like he usually does. So he'll have to do the phone, but we'll have him on the air.
All right, that's the plan. 800-919-3776. Let's go to George in Elizabeth. George, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing? How you guys feeling today? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you and yours, George.
What I wanted to talk about was, you know, there's a lot of COVID, unfortunately, going around in the country and as well in the NFL, and it's affecting the play and the matchups, and games are getting canceled. I'm a bigger NBA fan than I am an NFL fan. And what they did in the bubble during the playoffs were really great with no positives. And now the season is about to start, and these guys are traveling all over the country again. I see the same thing happening with them that's happening with the NFL if they don't at least seriously consider a bubble-type situation for the regular season. And it's like, you know, we got really good play out of those guys during that bubble experience, and I would love to see that same sort of capacity to at least begin the season because, you know, with the new administration and everything, I think this is going to come under control in 5, 6, 7 months.
That's and a lot. George, 5, 6, 7 months is a long time. I mean, we're That's December true. Next week, so you're talking about till May.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of, you know, what they call the slope going down, so to speak. So it's not so pervasive as it is at this current moment. I'm just saying that maybe some consideration should be given to bubbleizing, if that's a word.
Well, I don't think they're doing that. I don't think that's the plan for the NBA. They will not bubble the restart on December 22nd. You'll have no fans in arenas, but you will have basketball. Hopefully you will. I mean, God knows now. I don't know. Thanks for the call, George. I don't know. I mean, you look at the way this thing is running rampant. Couple things. Do you trust the players to do the right thing? Because they won't be bubbled. I mean, you had players not do the right thing when they were bubbled. So if they're not, do you think they do the right thing and go practice home, social distance? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I think everything's on the table right now. I think there's a chance you get to December 22nd and you get NBA. I think NBA pushes back a while. It's getting worse. From every expert that you listen to, it's going to get worse. When kids come home from college now and hang out with the families and then go back, and the kids go to school here locally or people go to work or whatever they do, it's almost an impossibility to envision it not getting worse in the coming weeks. And it's funny, the guy says, we're only 5, 6, 7 months away. 7 months is a long time. 7 months is June, guys. That's a long time. Calvin in Washington Heights. Calvin, you're next up on 98.7.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dave, man. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you? I appreciate the phone call.
Good. Thank you. I just would like to share. I know that, you know, this is like the picks days that you get on the phone with RJ. And I personally was listening to you with the Eagles and they play in the Seattle. And it's actually that's my favorite game of the week, believe I'm taking the Eagles +5. I really love that game, and I just wanted to share that in Chicago. I'm really liking those games, and, you know, I just wanted to, you know, help, you know, I mean, RJ Bell has not done so well. So
you are really calling us to give us your insight, Calvin, into games you like in hopes that I pass it on to RJ Bell.
No, not to RJ Bell. To the listeners.
You don't want him to steal your picks, is what you're saying. You just want the listeners to get winners because RJ has struggled mightily this year.
Yeah, and all my three picks. One of my favorite games last week actually went through Seattle pick of the year that I had, and I believe strongly on the Eagles.
Have you thought about opening up like a 1-900 number or anything like that?
Not really. I'm not going to do that. I just feel like just calling into your show.
So give me your pick of the week, Calvin. I don't want two picks. I don't want multiples. I don't want parlays. Your pick of the week is what?
Philadelphia Eagles +5.
All right. Well, you know what, Calvin? I hope that you get that right, and I hope that Philadelphia loses by a field goal. And anything painful would be wonderful for me. Thanks for the call. And I will tell you this. If the Giants lose on Sunday, you're going to have rabid Dave Rothenberg. Incensed. Out of my mind, out of control on Monday morning. Like, Canty and Rick can just step to the side as I just go bonkers on Monday.
I'm crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it happens.
God damn it!
Santiago's find all these drops of me losing my mind in the last few years. Although, let's be fair. Being a Giants fan over the last 5 years has been so bad that you've had the emotion ripped out from you. Like, I can't tell you the last time, and this is sincere, that I was genuinely excited to watch a Giants game.
I need you to relax.
You know, you shut up, okay?
No, seriously.
You have your Cowboys. You had a big game. You saw it yourself, and I'm excited for a Giants game. Why can't I be?
Because you're talking about how miserable it is for the last decade, and it robbed you of all emotion. Let me ask you this, Dave Rothenberg: would you trade either of those two Super Bowls you won in the last 15 years for a winning season in the last 5 or 6 or however many it's been?
No.
Okay, then. I haven't seen a Super Bowl since I was 11.
Yeah, listen,
relax.
I'm not making comparisons. Why can't I have my own issues? Why can't I have my team and say that the last 5 years have been awful? Why? Why does it have to be compared to you or the Jets?
Because you just sat there and said it robbed you of all emotion. And that's a lie.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's a lie.
When I've watched the Giants over the last 4 years, for the most part, it's like, okay, it's the Giants. It's not the same pain when they lose a game. It doesn't keep me up at night when they lose a game. I don't have the same feeling when I'm watching them play. I don't get excited when they run out to the field. It's gone.
Maybe that's just maturity.
No. No, I'm not mature. I have not matured. They have ripped the emotion away from me. You think you watch a Jets game this week and you're all into it? No. The Jets have ripped away all hope, all positivity, all reason to be excited, and the Giants have, for the most part, done the exact same thing. So I have a game that matters, and I shouldn't be excited? Well, you know what? I'm excited about it.
You should absolutely be excited. That's not what I'm saying. You should have all the excitement in the world like you usually do. But I don't want to hear you talk about that it robbed you of all emotion just because the team hasn't done anything in 5 years. Stop.
You know what? You don't get me at all. It has robbed me of emotion. It has. The same way it sounds like the Cowboys have robbed you, where you're watching the game yesterday and you're like, oh, God. If it really mattered that much, it would pain you. By the way, the Cowboys have a 3.9% chance to win the division.
The point I'm making to you is the Cowboys have, you know, they haven't gotten past the divisional round in however many years, but you could say for the most part over the last 10 to 15 years, they've been a very competitive team, right?
The Cowboys have been competitive, outside of drop passes in big moments, yes.
Right, but they've been competitive.
Yes.
I think there was a long period of time where they didn't play a game in Week 17 that didn't have playoff implications. So they were always in the thick of things.
Okay.
So would you take a situation like that but no Super Bowl championships? Or
trade a Super Bowl championship? This is a ridiculous line of questioning.
That's the point I'm making to you.
It's a terrible point.
It's ridiculous to even consider.
No. It's not ridiculous. So if you're a Yankees fan and you lose Game 5 to Tampa this year, you can't be incensed because you have to look back and be like, well, I've won 27 championships. It's moronic.
Absolutely
it's a stupid
not.
Take.
No, that is not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying like, that you're talking about you've robbed of all emotion and you mock me for kind of shrugging my shoulders yesterday.
The current version of the Giants have robbed me of emotion, and I'm going to leave it at that. And if you don't understand, then you don't get me.
You're a tough egg to crack.
No, I think you're out of your mind when it comes to this discussion. Andy and Merrick is ready to go. We'll go to Andy in just a moment when we return. But before we take a break, I want to tell you about a couple things. Download the DraftKings app and use code KJZ to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And how about this? The college football season is rolling along, and so is the latest season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right. We're talking about Fansville. So brace yourself for all the on-the-field football drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper and do that today. We'll come back, Andy, for Merrick, and then we're looking for R.J. Bell and Paul Feinbaum. A busy football Friday on A Belly Full of Turkey on 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's bring him in, see if he had a nice Thanksgiving. That is a staple of the show. Andy in Merrick.
Good morning, DCR.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Gone terrific. Wait, Dave, there's no Chris?
No Chris.
There's no Rick?
No Rick.
You're listening to Dave and Andy on 98.7 ESPN Radio. Let's line up the callers, 1-800-919-3776.
Well, Andy, are you saying that I'm not doing a good job solo?
Dave, I gave you top billing.
Okay. Well, that's big of you. But are you saying I need help here on a Black Friday?
Dave, you are the number one listen in all the country of sports radio. You could carry a show 8 hours. Everybody knows it.
Wow. Very kind of you, Andy.
Let's talk about your Giants. They're moving on to Cincinnati this weekend, mm-hmm. So I have a four-pack of Bengal questions for you.
All right.
Starting with, the Bengals have drafted just one Hall of Famer.
Anthony Munoz.
That is correct. Four times have the Bengals had the number one overall pick. Can you name three of them?
Is Kajana Carter one of them?
That 1995.
God. Well, Joe Burrow.
2020. You got one more.
Did Dan Wilkinson go top overall?
Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson, 1994. And, of course, Carson Palmer, 2003.
All right. So that's two nice for two, Andy.
Yeah. Well, this is not Stump Rothenberg.
What, you want a cookie?
Saturday.
I'd like a cookie. You know what? I have not had a cookie yet today. I'm sure I will later.
Question number three. The Bengals' single-season reception record is not held by A.J. Green or Chad Ochocinco. Can you name this wide receiver who had 112 catches in one Bengal year?
Carl Pickens, but I don't know if that's going to be the answer. He had a lot. Like, I'm thinking an Isaac Curtis could be the answer. Hushmanzada could be the answer. You said not Green and not Johnson.
Correct. And of the three guys you just mentioned, one is correct.
I'll go with Hushmanzada.
TJ Hushmanzada is correct. Amazingly, Carl Pickens also had 100 catch seasons.
He was a good receiver, Carl Pickens.
He was phenomenal. All right. Fourth, and for the clean sweep on a Friday, the Bengals' single-season rushing leader, 1,458 yards, was neither Joe Mixon nor Corey Dillon. Can you name this Auburn alum?
Is it Rudy Johnson?
Rudy Johnson is correct. Dave,
I am the smartest man alive!
You are truly a sports savant. Let me throw happy birthday wishes, 60 years old, to former New York Jet Ken O'Brien. And David, let's be careful out there and stay healthy, my friend.
And that, of course, is the great Andy from Merrick. Wonderful, wonderful job. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, get into the 10 o'clock hour, taking it all the way till noon. That's when Ian O'Connor takes over. I'm not sure if we're going to have RJ Bell. There's some diciness, some shadiness going on there with RJ. We might have him. We will have Paul Feinbaum. We will have a lot more of your calls. We will have a lot of NFL conversation. So a lot to do. Very busy Friday, football Friday, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hanukkah's early, by the way. Hanukkah is December 10th. So we're like 2 weeks out from presents being given. And then, of course, Christmas, the norm, December the 25th, although 2020, hopefully we make it to December 25th of this disaster of a season, of a year. It really is unbelievable. Today on ESPN Daily, former Philadelphia 76ers GM Sam Hinkie joins Pablo Torre for a rare, wide-ranging interview that covers his time with the Sixers, his exit from basketball, and his perspective on life away from the game on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. So I told Santiago this before the show. I ate myself silly. I've been really, really doing a great job on my diet, and I'm in like the 204 range, and I've been great, but and planned accordingly. Ate very light on Wednesday and went crazy yesterday. Like Santiago, ate to the point that it was. I mean, you would have thought I was eating for a small family. I went crazy. I went turkey, tons of it. I went sweet mashed potatoes. I went regular mashed potatoes. We had rolls. We had cornbread. All of it. All of it. Second helping, green beans, stuffing, you name it. Then we cleared, and then we went dessert. We had these like chocolate-covered pretzels. Sensational. Had one of those, piece of pumpkin bread, piece of pumpkin pie, piece of apple pie with ice cream on top, and a brownie. And then I'm sitting there at the table, and I said, I don't feel well at all. I have to go upstairs and lie down. Like, it was a lot. I took full advantage of Thanksgiving. And, yeah, no, it wasn't good. But I ate, and I ate, and I ate, and I felt sick, and that was really the plan. And that's where we are. 800-919-3776. Can I spend a minute? And I know this isn't a huge story. We'll get back to the NFL in just a moment. Are there people out there, and Cynthia, are you one of these people that has any interest? We talked fighting earlier on. We talked about Rocky IV and Drago and Rocky Balboa and, you know, the soundtrack and all of it. That was a good movie. Like, if you had to rank them, that clearly wouldn't be in the top two. But that, I mean, you could argue that's the third best or maybe the fourth best. Does anybody have any excitement at all for Tyson and Roy Jones tomorrow?
Well, not after hearing this, that they're not allowed to knock each other out. sort of
thing. Well, I didn't hear that. Why can't they knock each other out?
I got to pull this up before I say something.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? What happens if you hit him so hard he goes down and he gets knocked out?
I guess someone lose. Yeah, no knockouts rule.
What does that mean?
For Dazen. The rules for the fight, both fighters come out of retirement to make the November 28th. That's tomorrow.
Right. Now, Tyson's, what, 55 and Jones is like
54 and Jones is 51. The California State Athletic Commission has ruled that instead of a regular 12 rounds, the pair will compete over just 8 rounds.
Right, which we know, which is fine.
These rounds will be only 2 minutes long compared to the standard 3 minutes. Right. As both fighters are refusing to use head guards, meaning CSAC put in an extra restriction. If either fighter suffers a cut, then the fight will be stopped and no knockouts are allowed.
I don't understand what that means.
Damage done to both men, fighters will be required to wear 12-ounce gloves to soften the blows exchanged.
What does it mean no knockouts are allowed? What happens if Mike Tyson hits him so hard that he goes down and gets knocked out? That's not allowed?
I mean, I don't know. How
can you prevent the knockout?
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well, here's my take. I mean, are there people that are really going to spend money to watch this thing?
Not now.
I mean, not now, not ever. And maybe you're going to disagree. And I know Rosenberg's all geared up for this fight because I know he's buddies with Tyson. But I mean, Mike Tyson was unwatchable a decade ago. And I'm not saying he's not a big name. I'm not saying he's not an intriguing guy. But if you are going to spend hard-earned money on Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, and the undercard is like Nate Robinson against, I don't know, some YouTuber, like Jake Paul or somebody. I mean, really? You'll spend money on anything. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones would have been a good fight 25 years ago. Mike Tyson has been unwatched. Mike Tyson hasn't fought in, what, a decade? Mike Tyson in the last few fights was unwatchable anyway. And now you're telling me, what's the allure? And is the boxing game so bad that you're going to spend money to watch Mike Tyson fight? God, I feel like this is sad. I really do. And I know they're giving people, how dare you, Mike Tyson's... First of all, Mike Tyson at the end was pathetic to watch in its own right. Now I have to watch Mike Tyson a decade removed from a pathetic ending? No, thank you. I'm going to look this up. Santiago, when was the last time Mike Tyson had a fight? Do you have any idea?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's got to be...
It's got to be 15 years, right?
Might be close to 20, actually. It's been a long time.
I mean, Mike Tyson hasn't fought in forever. And you remember his fights, right? Like, his fights were dreadful at the end.
Here we go. June 11th, 2005.
So we're 15 years since we've seen Mike Tyson. He's 54 years old. Why in the world?
You remember who he fought?
He fought the guy. He got so tired he couldn't continue. Is that fight?
That is the fight.
It's not Peter McNeely, is it?
I think it's Kevin McBride.
I think you're right. He couldn't like come out for the seventh round. Remember?
Yeah.
But I mean, when he fought anybody decent, like Lennox Lewis, he got mauled. Then he fought Danny Williams, I remember was a fight later on, and he got knocked out. I mean, Danny Williams, Mike Tyson at the end was not Mike Tyson. Now I want to watch him at 54? I don't know. It just feels like you are so desperate. And then you know what's going to happen. It's going to be dreadful, and people are going to be all up in arms come Monday morning of, I can't believe I wasted. How much is this thing? This got to be good money, right? 40 bucks, 50 bucks?
I think Triller is carrying it.
You look that up. How much is this fight going to cost? It's got to be 50 bucks. I mean, he hasn't fought in 15 years. He's going to go out
$49.99.
How much is it?
$49.99.
Yeah, so it's 50 bucks.
Yep.
Really? I mean, really, if you are that desperate to watch, I mean, think about what the menu gives us. It gives us 54-year-old Mike Tyson against 52-year-old Roy Jones Jr. Didn't we have a movie like this? Wasn't De Niro in this movie where he fought like Stallone or somebody? Didn't they just make this? That's what this is. This is embarrassing. The thought that you're going to spend your hard-earned money to watch this is it's really...
Grudge Match was the Grudge name
Match.
Of the film.
It's kind of pathetic. It really is. I can't envision watching this. I can't. It's sad. 800-919-3776. Let's get to a couple calls. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, 4.5 days ago, Houston Texans were 2-7. They beat New England. They beat Detroit. This Deshaun Watson yesterday, 17 for 25, 318 yards. That's 13 yards an attempt, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's not thrown in an interception in 6 straight games. If they sneak in, and only if they sneak into the playoffs.
They're not getting in the playoffs.
No. Well, if, Dave, this is talk show radio, why not? They're 4-7. If they run the table, finish 9-7, I give him the MVP over Mahomes and Wilson. No question.
Richard, couple things. First of all, they're not getting into the postseason. You look at what it's going to take. Right now, Baltimore 6-5, and they're not a postseason team.
Dave, in 1984, the Giants went 9-7.
I understand that, but it's not going to happen this year. You're gonna have to have a real record, and they're not going to go undefeated the rest of the way. And I agree with you that Deshaun Watson is sensational. He's got sensational.
The highest percentage of passes, 8.4 yards per attempt, per passing attempt. That's almost unbeatable so far this year.
Richard, you're not getting an argument for me how terrific he is. They were a horrendously coached team. They had a schedule from hell to start the season.
Lost his top wide receiver, lost his coach.
Richard, what is the goal of this?
Story. I think it would be great if he can pull
it's
it
It's not
going
to happen. You know what would be great also? If I won the lottery, it would also be wonderful. It's also not going to happen. Richard, have a wonderful holiday weekend. It's not going to happen. They're 4-7. Look at the records of the teams that are on the outside looking into the postseason right now. So the Ravens are 6-4. They're not in. You want me to run through the schedule for Houston down the stretch? That we're getting excited for a 4-7 football team? And he's great, and I'm not arguing that for a moment. So they host Indianapolis, go at Chicago, at Indianapolis, home to Cincinnati, and home to Tennessee. If they get to 8-8, it would be a miraculous turnaround. It's not happening. There's no way. Now, Santiago, nasty towards you on the Twitter. Wilson Urena says, please tell your producer KOs will count. If you're going to do a show, you should know the information. So Wilson is very displeased.
I didn't say they wouldn't count. He just said that they wouldn't be allowed.
Well, what is that? I don't understand. Can you explain that to me?
And Triller has put out a statement that say that that's contradictory because the rules that the California, and I got to pull it up, the commission have put was in response directly to their ages. Like these are older guys. That's why they're having 12-ounce gloves. That's why it's an 8-round, 2 minutes.
But here's what I don't understand. If you're fighting and you hit a guy hard enough that you knock him down and knock him out, what does that mean it doesn't count? It doesn't make sense.
Hang on. Let's pull this up.
It doesn't make, the whole thing doesn't make sense, but it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. The fact is you can't watch. Please don't watch this. Really, really, please. And I like boxing.
Well, apparently this thing's already set records. So, I mean, what's done is done. People have paid.
You know what? Listen, we've seen a lot of concerning moments this year with this country. This is just adds to the list. And I'm sure we're going to have people to call, but how dare you? This is going to be a great fight. I have a 54-year-old and a 52-year-old who haven't fought in like 3 decades combined.
Yeah, Triller's statements insist that the KOs will be allowed. So I don't understand how they
couldn't be. You won't be watching this, will you?
It's kind of like a car
wreck.
Look
at you. You're going to.
It's kind of like a car wreck. You're going to be interested. But, I'm leaning towards not paying
$50.
You're going to spend
$50. And you work hard. You might work as hard as anyone I know. You're going to spend $50 of your hard-earned money.
I didn't say that.
To watch this fight.
That's the thing.
You're going to find someone. Oh, I see what you're doing. You have some like back channel.
I might know somebody who
you might. You know a guy who knows a guy, and you're going to watch it for free.
I might have to,
you're
going to
be watching some like disgusting roach-infested kitchen in the back room rolling dice.
No.
That's what you're going to do. I see.
There are no shady back alley dealings going on this program.
You can tell me. You tell me off the air. I'm intrigued. I like the back alley. the depravity of what you are.
You're so lucky Rick's not here.
What?
You're so lucky he's not here.
Why? I like the thought of you like, because I can see it now. I can see you walk, like, you're knocking twice, and you're like, what's the password? Vegetables. And they open the door like, oh, Santiago, okay. All right, come on in. Listen, here's your seat to the right. Here's your mask. You got to put it on because we're very, you have to stay 6 feet away. We're very conscious about social distancing. But you know, enjoy it. As they roll dice. That's what I envision. So you are going to watch it.
I probably not, in all honesty.
People, so this thing is setting records?
I've clicked on like 5 different articles to read this thing, and apparently people have already put down a substantial amount of money to watch this. So, I mean, people have already paid. It's money spent.
It's great. I mean, really, spend your money to watch this fight. I mean, if I were to tell you, I mean, this is two men in their 50s who are fighting that haven't fought in decades, and you're going to spend your money to watch this thing. It does tell you a lot about this society, doesn't it? By the way, can we spend a minute? This was, I don't think surprising, but certainly sad. Diego Maradona passes away. I guess, was it Tuesday? Maybe Wednesday at the age of 60?
It was Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wednesday at the age of 60. So, I mean, when you look back at the biggest moments in the history of soccer, and I know soccer has a tremendous following, when you look back at the biggest moments, he's involved in many of them. And there was a documentary. I think it was by HBO. I think so. If you haven't seen it, it was great. It was so good and so intriguing and really let you see what kind of a guy he was. And you know, it's funny, you looked at Maradona, you never thought to yourself, just from looking at his appearance, that this would be a great athlete, but he was some kind of soccer player. So sadly, at 60 years old, Diego Maradona has passed away. But when you look back at it, you see all the big, like Ronaldo and Messi and all, you know, pouring tributes out all over social media. When you think of the biggest names in the history of the game, in the history of soccer, he's right there. Right? I mean, Pele's up there. Messi's up there. Maradona's up there. I mean, these are, who else is up there? Let's see what I know. Klinsmann wouldn't be there, right? He's not at that level. Beckham's a big name. I don't think he played at that level. You're a big soccer guy, Santiago, aren't you?
No, you're thinking of Gundling.
You love the beautiful game. No, I know Gundling is crazy about soccer. But he's one of the biggest names we've ever seen. Ronaldo certainly has to be up there. But I mean, we're talking about like just, you don't even have to be a soccer fan to know Maradona. The hand of God goal in the World Cup, one of the biggest goals in the history of sports. 800-919-3776. So we think we're going to have Paul Feinbaum in just a moment. When we do, obviously we'll get heavy into college football with Paul, get into the Dabo Sweeney, and I mean, he's just become unlikable at this point to me. And then obviously North Carolina, big game against Notre Dame, Alabama, Auburn this weekend. And what's going on in college football? What a disaster that is right now. Because as in every sport, as we see it, you know, COVID runs rampant, games get canceled, and it's just, this is a different kind of year. I mean, hopefully this is a year that we will never, ever experience anything like this ever again. 800-919-3776. Rothenberg with you on a, it's not Saturday, it's Friday. That's right. Well, it's a Friday right here on 98.7 ESPN. Being only ours here today, Rothenberg flying solo, and a man who says, you know, holiday weekend or not, I love this spot Friday at 10:30, and I will not miss it for anything, and that is the talented, wonderful, really, Paul Feinbaum. Good morning, Paul, and happy holidays to you.
Man, I'm so impressed that you came to work today. How are you?
I'm fine. This is what we do. Like, us hard workers, this is what we do. The other people, everyone else takes a day off, and they do their thing, and they start their shopping early. But the hard workers, you and I, nose to the grindstone, and we get it done.
This is a day I want to work. I mean, I don't want to be anywhere out where there are thousands of people.
Yeah, so this is good. Now we have thousands listening, but they're socially distanced, and it's very safe for us. So let's talk a little college football, Paul. And, you know, I really liked Clemson, and I really liked Dabo Sweeney, used to. I can't believe how unlikable this guy is during this pandemic. I mean, he over and over and over, he says stuff that he infuriates me. I can't stand him at this point.
Yeah, I think some of it is just a part of his nature. He's a guy, not to give this the audience a life history, but he grew up, in a tough household. His father was an alcoholic, and he's always had a chip on his shoulder.
He was a walk-on at Alabama. He got fired as an assistant, and he has just used that. And someone has forgotten to tell Dabo, Dabo, you're like the king of college football now. You've won two national championships. You play for it every year. You make $10 million a year. And I, you know, I think that's the issue. If he was still a guy trying to brawl his way out of the neighborhood, it would be one thing. But he's sitting at the most elite table in college sports, so it comes off disingenuous. Even though, you know, you can quibble about whether he was right or wrong, he just cannot make a statement or a point, Dave, without just sounding whiny.
It's unbelievable. Do you think he really believes that Florida State didn't want to play them last week? Like, you think deep down that's his mindset, or this is kind of for show and let the players see that I got their back and we want to play football and pandemic, you know, be damned. All we want is football, and we're Clemson and we're a football team.
It's all about the players. And, you know, about a month ago, Dan Mullen did the same thing when he ran out on the field, you know, really inciting a riot. But he had the players back, and that, you know, college football and pro football are a little bit different. I mean, you can't get away with some of this stuff in pro football. You get laughed. Not only will you get laughed by the audience and the fans, you get laughed by your own players. In college, it's a little bit different. They're much more under the thumb and the rule of the college coach. And this has been going on with Dabo though for a long time. This is not a new thing. And it's just who he is. You know, a lot of people want to compare him to Steve Spurrier in his heyday, but, you know, Spurrier could be entertaining. Dabo is not entertaining at all.
Yeah, I feel kind of sorry for him at this point, because every time he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, God, here he goes again. Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Paul, feels like we're limping home. I mean, you have games are just canceled nonstop. BYU gets canceled. Big Ten is a disaster. Are we going to make it here? Do you think we get to the college football playoff and enough teams have played enough games that we can actually have that?
Dave, we'll get there if we can. And what I mean by that is who knows from week to week what's going on. And, you know, college football has been somewhat immune to the virus, other than the fact that, you know, the biggest coach in the game got it this week, and he's about the 18th to get it. And, you know, they just really don't care. They're determined to get there. And I had a coach tell me the other day, you know, we're doing it safely. I'm like, going, what? You know, one team had 30 players. I would like the total number of Power Five schools to reveal how many players from July 1st on have contracted COVID. I think you wouldn't be surprised, but I think maybe some people in the audience would. I mean, I didn't really think there was anyone left to get it, because the attitude has been, and you heard me say that, but right now it's critical because the protocols are fairly tough, especially in the Big Ten as well as the Pac-12. And, you know, not only do you have this contact tracing, which can knock out an entire unit, but you're also theoretically out for 21 days. So I think some leagues will have a hard time making it to the end. And then you just have to hope that the protocols will allow. I mean, the University of Kentucky played a game last week against Georgia with 46 scholarship players. Mississippi State. It was Mississippi State played. Kentucky right now is under the 50 before their game with Florida this week. And, you know, if you're under 53 in the SEC at least, you don't have to play the game. But right now, nobody wants to say, you know, we don't want to play and be subjected to Dabo Swinney.
Yeah. No, he'll scream at you and tell you how soft you are and how pathetic you are as a pandemic sweeps across the nation. Is Nick Saban going to be on the sidelines tomorrow, or is he going to coach from a hotel room somewhere?
He will not be on the sidelines. And here's what's interesting. The NCAA protocol, here we go again with that word, mandates that he cannot have any communication with his team, you know, 90 minutes out. So he will be at home and, in theory, watching the game like the two of us. Now, Dave.
Yeah, right.
Does anyone really believe that? Is the SEC and the NCAA going to put some IT expert outside of his house trying to detect whether Saban is on the phone or on a Zoom or in communication? I have a hard time believing that. But, you know, Steve Sarkisian will be the interim head coach. This time, if, you know, 5 weeks ago, Saban tested positive and then tested negative three straight times, leading a lot of people to, you know, raise their eyebrows. He was on the sideline for the Georgia game. This time, he apparently got it. And he said he's doing fine, mild symptoms. Now, when Nick Saban announces that he has mild symptoms, I tend to want to ratchet that up to serious symptoms, but that's just my mind playing tricks on me, I'm sure.
What is, and Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I'm a stickler for rules as well, Paul, but what is the rationale behind he can't have any input on a game? Like, he's the head coach of the team. He can't be there, obviously. So if he calls the OC and says, on 3rd and 3, I want to run a jet sweep, like, I don't see why that's frowned upon so much.
I really don't either. But I think they're trying to send the message that if you're out, you have nothing to do with it. I've yet to have anyone explain to me what the purpose of that is. And I am fairly certain, this is my opinion here, that Saban will disregard those rules.
I'm sure he will. All right, so what's been a great story this year, and of course it gets very little conversation because of everything else going on, is Northwestern football. I've watched Wisconsin play, and they look good. And what Northwestern did to them last week was pretty impressive. They're a good football team under Pat Fitzgerald, aren't they?
They really are, especially defensively. And, Pat Fitzgerald has done this a couple of times before. He is a coach which I am really surprised the NFL has not come after, and I suspect they will now. But, at a very good academic institution that doesn't have as loose a standard as some other places, he every 2 or 3 years puts a really good team on the field. And, I find it to be remarkable. They will be the representative of the Big Ten in the championship game. Now, here's the interesting thing. If they went out and they have a fairly soft schedule and play Ohio State, and I realize we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but
right.
if somehow they beat Ohio State and are undefeated, they will likely get a spot in the playoffs, which would really be pretty entertaining. Whether they can do that or not, it's open for debate. And part of the reason is they did beat Wisconsin, but even had they not, Wisconsin currently is ineligible for the Big Ten championship game because they haven't played enough games.
Yeah, and I guess they won't be able to. Notre Dame, yeah. North Carolina. Obviously, Notre Dame had that huge win against Clemson. They're number 2 in the nation. Does UNC, whose offense is good, have any chance of winning this game?
I think so. This is a sneaky good game today, and Notre Dame's a slight favorite. Sam Howell, the quarterback at UNC, is really an extraordinary quarterback, one of the better ones in the country. Mack Brown has nearly pulled off some mammoth upsets before a year ago. Remember that horrible 2-point conversion that cost him a win against Clemson?
Sure.
But he also has some inexplicable losses this year, such as Virginia. And I'm able to say that with a straight face without your compadre and Florida State. So I do think they have a legitimate shot at winning this game.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. How about some of the other SEC teams, like a Georgia, Florida? These teams are very much involved in the hunt for the playoff?
Yes. Four SEC teams were ranked in the first CFP ranking the other night. Only three matter. Georgia's at number 9, and they're done. But Florida right now has only lost one time at Texas A&M. They have Kyle Trask, who wasn't even a starter at the beginning of the 2019 season. He now is the Heisman favorite, as crazy as that race has been, and it's not over yet. But, should they, win out, which they will, and beat Alabama in the title game, they'll go. Probably Alabama will as well. Texas A&M is the wild card. Jimbo Fisher, remember, it wasn't all that long ago. We were wondering whether the $75 million contract was worth it. They only have one loss this year, a 28-point beating at Alabama, but they played extremely well lately and are sitting at the number 5 position in the CFP rankings.
Paul, has there ever been a worse win than Michigan had last week? I mean, I almost feel like you should just pack up, not even pay attention, not even discuss that victory, because that was a terrible win. I mean, they were awful against Rutgers.
I was relieved, Dave, only because I there's only so many times you can say the same thing about Jim Harbaugh. But this week, you talk about an interesting matchup. You have Penn State, Michigan. Normally, that's a huge game. Penn State hasn't won this year. I mean, James Franklin's 0-5, and this is another guy that just drives his fan base crazy, even though he's had a couple of three, in fact, 11-win seasons. He always finds a way to just mismanage the clock, come in with a boneheaded call, and Harbaugh winning really won't do a lot for his tenure there other than maybe calm people down. But Franklin is just having an unimaginable season right now at Penn State.
Yeah, I know they've had a bunch of guys like Micah Parsons and the running backs opt out. But still, to be winless at this point of the season really is unbelievable. Do you think that, and last one, Paul, let you run. Do you think that Harbaugh has other jobs that would be interested in him? Like, do you think the NFL comes calling after he's done this?
I think there's someone in the NFL that will. Now, again, the NFL coaching carousel is beyond comprehension sometimes, and you know that better than I do. But, you know, there's that one owner out there who thinks, okay, this guy got to the Super Bowl, and he's going to disregard the uneven and inexplicable nature of his Michigan career. So, the question is whether Harbaugh is smart enough to take a job. I question his intelligence. I really do. He's so hard-headed. He's like something happened to him at some point in his life, and he misses some things that the rest of us see. But if he doesn't take an NFL job, his time at Michigan is short. Now he may survive this year because coaches don't. It's not a great coaching market, and nobody wants to pay even a year off. He only has another year left, so. If they don't renew him or extend him, which they won't, he is a lame duck coach, which is not something that you see very often in college football.
All right, Paul, listen, great stuff. Appreciate going around the world of college football with us for a couple of minutes. The guys will be back next Friday, but it's good to have you all to myself today. Appreciate it. Happy holiday. I'll talk to you soon.
Always enjoy. Thanks, Dave.
All right, good stuff. That, of course, is Paul Feinbaum, friend of the show, joins us every Friday, holiday weekend or not, at 10:30. 800-919-3776. I guess a lot of people are upset. They're all engaged in this fight tomorrow night. Is it a fight? I mean, whatever this thing is going to be, people are, I guess, somewhat excited about it. So they're lined up and want to discuss it. The world of the NFL is certainly on the table. The Giants are in. Let's be fair. The Giants are in great shape to win this division. Let's be honest about what it is. The Giants are in great shape to win this division. 800-919-3776. We'll get to your calls. We'll do that next. Rothenberg with you solo on a Friday, 98.7 ESPN. I don't know if you guys saw this. More 2020. The Pinstripe Bowl, December 29th, Yankee Stadium has been canceled. Will not take place. Probably the right move as COVID, again, continues to run rampant. Nationally, and I mean, why play? I mean, and I get it's exciting bowl, it's a fun bowl, but it's a meaningless game, right? I mean, you could argue it's all meaningless, but the Pinstripe Bowl, meaningless. I like it; it's fun. Yankee Stadium, it's cool. We've had good games there in the past. Syracuse, good crowds, but as far do you need to watch like the 39th and 40th best teams play on December 29th? Probably not. Video chatting with the family this holiday season. We have the perfect guest for everyone's virtual gathering. New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold. It's 98.7 ESPN, Sam and the Fam sweepstakes. Here's how you win. Send us a brief message telling us why Sam should hang with your family for a 30-minute virtual huddle. Send us that message at 98.7ESPN@gmail.com. That's 98.7ESPN@gmail.com. Winners will each get a one-of-a-kind experience with friends and family to have a virtual hangout with Sam Darnold. It's all from your home for the hookup and your home for the hangout. 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's get to some of these calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Brian in Manhattan. Good morning, Brian. You're next up on 98.7.
Morning, Dave. Great show. You know, it's funny. When I listen to you and I call in, sometimes I change my mind what I want to talk about based on what you're talking about.
All right.
So I was going to call and talk about the Giants, but I want to make a Tyson point. But I just have to tell you, your Feinbaum interview, Feinbaum destroyed Jim Harbaugh. Like, and you were so calm about it. He essentially said Harbaugh is crazy. He's got a screw loose. And
well, what do you want me to do? I mean, he says it every week. He thinks that Harbaugh is not well equipped right now to handle any of this.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah, this is his take. He thinks Harbaugh is terrible.
I happen to agree with him, but I've never heard someone so calmly dissect Harbaugh. But I was really calling about Tyson because I have no interest in this fight, but some friends want to see it. Last time I did this was Tyson Spinks, which I think lasted all of, 90 seconds, maybe less. And but I was looking up Tyson's career. The guy had so many trainers. I looked at who he fought, and it was a weird period in boxing. There was really no one else good. And it's hard for me to understand where Tyson sort of rates in the history of boxing.
I think there's a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people that grew up in that era. And that was my era also, that thinks that Mike Tyson is one of the greats of all time. And I do not agree with that. I mean, what's his big win? What's the fight that you look at that you say another elite competitor from that generation? He didn't beat Evander Holyfield, and you say he was past his prime, fine. He didn't beat Lennox Lewis. He was past his prime, sure. I mean, Larry Holmes was like 40 and done. Tony Tucker, I mean, Trevor Burbick.
The Razor Ruddock fights were good, but you're right. It was weird. Like, he fought a lot of times for the title against guys I never heard of. Like, Bone Crusher Smith was a champion. He beat Bone Crusher Smith, who somehow was like an IBC or an IBF, or like boxing was extra weird then.
I think he was so dynamic in a lot of his wins, but he was dynamic in wins against guys that were not legitimate fighters. I don't know. You look at, and maybe I'm wrong, but I look at like Muhammad Ali and who he fought, and that was a different generation of fighter. It was a better generation of fighter. I think that Mike Tyson was in a generation where the game was not at that level. And certainly he was exciting. I mean, no one would argue that. He put guys into the third row all the time. But who were those guys?
And one quick Giants question, Dave. If the Giants, in fact, rebound this year, and whether they win the division or, close strongly, that means Gettleman will stay. I have never forgiven him for picking Saquon Barkley. As much as I like Barkley as a player and as a person, everyone knows you don't pick a running back.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
First choice.
Brian, it was a horrendous decision. But here's what I'll ask you. Do you want to not win the games? Like, you're in position to win the division right now with six games to play. Do you not want to win games so that you move on from Gettleman?
I do, and I'll root for them. It's sort of this weird vibe because I just feel like Gettleman, I think he made a good choice in Judge. They obviously play hard for Judge. They really only had one bad game. And I think I like Daniel Jones. I know he takes a lot of hit. I know Canty was giving Jones, just destroying Jones for his turnovers. I felt like a lot of it was his surroundings, but I sort of like.
But Brian, you can't turn the ball over nonstop. I mean, you can't be a quarterback in this league and just turn it over and over and over again. It's not winning football.
But it takes time, and they have such a bad team. But I know what you're saying. I just like him, and I don't know. We have family season tickets. We didn't use them this year, obviously. I have a lot of hope for the Giants. I really do. I just wish there was somebody else running the show.
The needle is pointing in the right direction, and thanks for the call, Brian, and happy holidays. I mean, you're right. Look, if you looked at this division right now, you'd say that the Cowboys are in a free fall, the Eagles are in a free fall, the Giants and Washington have it pointing up. That's what it feels like, right? And look, and the Giants are not an ultimately all that talented team, but you like their coach, you think you might like the quarterback, they've played harder and better than you thought possible. And listen, Bradbury was a nice addition to this team. Blake Martinez was a nice addition to this team. I'm excited to see. It looks like Xavier McKinney's going to play in this game on Sunday against the Bengals. Hopefully he'll be a nice addition to this team. I mean, it feels like this team is heading in the right direction. Now, I have the same concerns. I mean, if you go 6-10 and win the division and host a playoff game and lose 35-12, do I have to have Dave Gettleman run this thing back? It's a concern. It really is. It's a real worry. And I don't love that, but I'm not going to not root for them. But do I want Gettleman to run this organization? I don't. And you think that maybe, see, I wonder, if you go 6-10, I mean, is he strutting around there like, uh-huh, you see that? See, I'm the guy. Look what I've done. I won the division for you. Or because I don't know with Gettleman. Or do they look at it and say, listen, we went 6-10, we won the division, but this was not a good football team. this is still a team that you look at and there's a million holes. I mean, if you rank talent-wise the Giants and the rest of the NFL, they're still in the 20s. You look at who they've beaten this year. Washington's awful. They beat them twice. And Philly's awful. And they beat them once. That's what they have. So maybe they'll win this week. And they probably will. They're 6-point favorites. But against a team that's awful. So they might be 4-7. You'll feel good about it. And rightfully so. And you'll have no wins that are... Your losses will look better than your wins will look. Like, they played well against Tampa. They played well against the Rams. Although, for the most part, they played well against Chicago. Those are losses. I don't know. It's difficult. It's hard to be a Giant because you're in this like no man's land. You want to win games. You want to win the division. You're excited about that. But you don't want Gettleman to stay. So that makes you nervous. And now you're going to go from the 8th pick to the 19th pick if you win 6 games. It's just it's weird. It really is. It's very 2020 what's happening with the Giants right now. 800-919-3776. Take a quick break. We'll continue with the NFL. I know people want to know, Tyson's so great. I don't know. I really don't see it. I mean, as we get ready for this fight on Saturday night, I almost feel sad. I almost feel sad that Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. It's that movie. The movie Santiago was talking about earlier. Grudge Match. That's what we're living. We are living a real life version of the movie Grudge Match. 800-919-3776. So I'm not done now. Going to take you to noon. We'll do picks in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Get to your calls, 800-919-3776. Rothenberg with you on 98.7 ESPN. Well, this is unusual territory. DCR not usually on the 11 o'clock hour, but it's Black Friday, so today is different. 800-919-3776. I want to remind you, as always, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN. On the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. So we started the show discussing the football from yesterday. It stunk that you only got the 2 games and not the 3, because the 3rd game was as important as Washington and Dallas was for us, for the Giants fan, for us here in this area. And listen, I guess the football fan in general, the NFC East is very much up for grabs. The game you were excited to watch was Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and obviously that didn't happen yesterday, and it sounds like there's a chance that's not going to happen on Sunday either, and here we are. I mean, as the NFL continues to move along, this insidious disease continues to run rampant throughout the NFL, and now you just don't know. I mean, are you able to play? I mean, it doesn't make sense that you'd be able to play the game where the Ravens facility is shut down until Monday. They can't do anything at the facility till at least Monday. How are you going to play the game Sunday at 1 o'clock? Seems like that's a pretty difficult proposition. Are you going to be able to play that game next Thursday? So are you going to play Sunday Thursday? I guess maybe. But can you play the game next Thursday? I don't know if that makes sense. So do you swap the game out from Thursday and push it to next Sunday, the Cowboys game? And move a game into the Thursday that's scheduled for next Sunday. So the NFL is going to have a lot of work to do. Is there going to be a Week 18? I mean, the Broncos right now, they have issues. They released a statement. It's just, this is continuous is what this is. And this is not going anywhere. And you can feel it happening. It's getting worse. So I just hope we can finish the NFL season, truly. Because to think, and I don't think we'll get here, but of sports shutting down again is daunting. It's terrible. We were there. We lived that. We had months and months and months where we just didn't have conversation about sports, and we actually have it. So we got to watch this game last night, and it was a disaster, and Mike McCarthy was awful, and Dallas was terrible, and it was great. I mean, really. I mean, I don't like Washington either, but this Alex Smith story is something special. And the guy was literally near death 2 years ago. Was on the verge of losing the limb. And is now playing competitive football. And he played well yesterday. And granted, his game is 5-yard passes, 7-yard passes. But he played well. And he led that team to 41 points. And he led that team to win on the road that the entire country could see. And it's good for him. I feel great for him. And I told Santiago, and I mentioned on air earlier in the show, I don't think I've ever watched a sporting event, ever, where every single time a player gets hit, I am terrified. Terrified. I cannot imagine what this man's wife must be like, or kids must be like, when he takes a hit. He took the hit from Gregory yesterday. Low. You never know. He goes down, gets up slowly, and you think to yourself, oh my God. That is one tough guy. Give him a ton of credit. But that's where we are. Giants are in prime position. They're in great position to win this division. You know what's weird? Like the Giants could go out there and win this game on Sunday. We could pop on the microphones on Monday and say to ourselves, boy, they win this game 35-13, and they're 4-7, and they're on the verge of being in first place in the division. This is great, and Gettleman, maybe he'll come back, and Judge is amazing. They lose this game, and all the goodwill, all the good feeling, all the positivity, completely out the window. Couldn't be more out the window than it would be if they lose this game. So it's a big game. And I know that Cincinnati stinks, and I know the Giants are six-point favorites, but you take care of business. Lou and Manalapan. Lou, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, how's it going? Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lou. Same to you and yours. Did you eat your face off yesterday?
I kind of did. I was much more reserved this year. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was just too into the sports that were going on yesterday. I mean, I had a lot of same game parlays on FanDuel yesterday. Lost by one.
So maybe that's what sapped your appetite, that you were losing your bets yesterday. Yeah, maybe so.
Well, CeeDee Lamb, I had him over 55 yards, and, you know, that was... CeeDee
Lamb. Now, Lou, I will console you here. I have CeeDee Lamb in fantasy. He was awful. And I was pleased that he dropped that touchdown, but another side of me was pained that he dropped that touchdown. And that's a touchdown. You have to catch that.
And he was coming off a hot week last week. You thought the guy was going to show up.
And I don't know if you noticed, he didn't play a lot. Like, when they went to two wide receiver sets, he was never in. And in three wide receiver sets, he wasn't in all the time. He did not get a ton of action yesterday.
Dave, I was screaming at the television. I'm like, where the heck is this guy? This guy looked like the next great receiver last week. Where is he?
Yeah, maybe one of the great catches you've seen last week against Minnesota. That was a tremendous catch.
Oh, absolutely. But I wanted to say to you, that there's a lot to be thankful for in New York sports. You know, the Giants are pulling off this crazy season. You got the Jets that could potentially... I mean, this is looking at the Jets in a positive way.
How do you look at the... do you look at the Jets in a positive way, Lou?
Well, I'm a Rangers Jets fan, and, you know, you get two first overall picks for your team. It's something to be excited about. You're turning a new page. Now, the Jets are nowhere near where the Rangers are in hockey, but the Jets are kind of proving with the Mekhi Becton pick and Joe Douglas' scouting and last year's draft that maybe things aren't going to be as bad. And, you know, and you look at – and it's not only the Jets. I mean, I don't even need the Jets. I have the Knicks, who I'm impressed with the draft last week. I have the Mets. Dave, we can't go on anymore about the Mets. I mean,
Lou, you have four teams. You have the Jets and the Knicks on the one hand, and you have the Rangers and the Mets on the other. Rangers, Mets, great, tons of optimism, should be excited. The other two, not so much. You can't sit here and tell me that you're excited about the Jets and the Knicks.
One last thing. I know I'm not super excited. I'm just happy that four of my teams are actually like looking forward to the future a little bit. But
Lou, the Jets are winless. They're 0-10.
I know, they stink. They're garbage.
So I don't understand how you can be excited about this team.
I'm not excited for them this year. I'm excited for them next year and the year after. With the Mets, we've always said it's always next year. That's kind of my motto. I should have it tattooed on my arm, Dave. It's just like it's always next year. So to look forward to the draft and maybe getting a Trevor Lawrence, like a Peyton Manning type quarterback, or a Tom Brady type quarterback, or a winner, you know, I can't help to get a little bit excited, feel a little bit more thankful. I'm not thankful for the Jets this year, but thankful for the Jets next year.
Yeah,
dude.
I don't know. I feel the same way with the Knicks. If there's any way that this organization can screw it up, this organization will find a way to do that. That's kind of my take on those two teams.
Absolutely, we can't lose sports again, Dave. Though, if you watched the college basketball this week, I don't know if you were tuned in, but
yeah, I watched Villanova last night. I saw Villanova against Boston College. I watched a bunch of college basketball, and Lou, thanks for the call. College basketball is gonna be a disaster. I mean, if anybody tests positive, they have to shut down for 2 weeks. I don't see how they're gonna be able to play games. I really don't. College basketball worries me. College football is hemorrhaging right now. The NFL, I mean, this is real. This is really going on. Some news from the Jets. Adam Gase says it's been a really good week for Sam Darnold, and as long as there's no setbacks, he will be your starting quarterback against Miami this week. Well, how about that? And he's got all the guys. He's got Crowder. He's got Mims. He's got Perryman. Now, he won't have Perine, but Frank Gore doesn't age, and he will have his starting offensive line. Like, you'd like to see Darnold go out there and play well on Sunday, right? Like, enough of the excuses for him, enough of the, well, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that, and we all are the understanding that he's not going to be here next year. But go out there and at least play well. I'm not even saying win the game. Just go out there. Like Iris said earlier today, don't go out there and score 13 points, please. Go out there and move the football. Could you imagine if the Jets win? If you're a Jets fan, do you even want to win this game? Think of what they have done to you. They have been so bad, and I've been here with the Giants too. I mean, the Giants beat Washington last year, 5 touchdowns, Daniel Jones, and I felt sick about it. Think about what the Jets have done to you. The Jets have forced you to root against the team. They have forced you to root against the team. So you play Miami. You can't stand the Dolphins. You want to win. But if they win that game and Jacksonville loses out and you don't get Trevor Lawrence, you'll look at it and say, I can't believe we won that game. That's a terrible position to be in. And I was just in that position. Awful. That you're a Jets fan and you look at it and you say, yeah, you know what? I want to lose. I just want to lose. I want to go win. I want to be winless. I want to be one of four teams in the history of football to go 0-16. Ugh, root for Jacksonville. Jacksonville wins the game. At least you have a little bit of cushion that you can win a game. But could you imagine if the Jets win a game or two? And it's probably difficult to imagine, but who knows, right? I mean, they're at least competing now. They should have beat New England. Competed against the Chargers, I guess, kind of. It's bad. It's really bad. But Darnold's going to... Going to get that start. Now, what you want is to go out there. He plays well, because you can't have him go out there and look like garbage. He goes out there. He plays well. The Jets move the football, and they lose the game, 27-23. Keep it competitive. See good things from Darnold, because what you need now is you need other teams to look at Sam Darnold and say, you know what? I'm interested in him. That's the guy that I would like to get to lead my team in the future, be it New Orleans, because... And by the way, is there anybody that watched Taysom Hill and thought that looked good? Taysom Hill, I thought, looked at best mediocre. That long throw was awful. It was like a fair catch. It was a terrible throw. So, I mean, New Orleans could be a team that needs a quarterback. Pittsburgh could be a team that needs a quarterback. I think Denver's a team. I don't know that they're sold on Drew Lock. They could be a team that needs a quarterback. There are teams that will need a quarterback. So, you, Darnold, you can't go out there and stink. Enough excuses for Sam Darnold. He's going to have all three receivers, and he's going to have Mekhi Becton at left tackle. Go out there and produce. And I know Miami's a pretty good defense, but go out there and give me something. Can't go out there again and give me an awful game, 13 points, and have the excuses again. I don't even need the win. The win is secondary at this point. It's a tough position to be in if you're a fan of the Jets. Fan of the Cowboys, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you look at teams that have just been so bad this year, and that NFC East is really, I find it really interesting and really intriguing. Because it's. I mean, this could be, I don't ever remember, and Santiago, correct me if I'm wrong, do you ever remember a worse division?
No, this is easily the worst top to bottom I've ever seen a football division.
When you look, so the Giants have 3 wins in division. Dallas has, they beat the Giants, so they have 2 wins out of division. Both of those teams stink, right? Minnesota, what are they, 4-6, they're bad. Atlanta is awful.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia's wins are what? They have a tie against Cincinnati, who stinks.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Dallas, who stinks. Yep. They beat the Giants, who stink. And what's their other win?
Did they beat Washington? No, they did not.
No, they lost to Washington. What's Philadelphia's other win?
Pulling it up, the other win would be...
The Eagles' third win.
They didn't beat the Rams. Well,
who'd they beat?
Lost to the Browns. They lost to the Ravens. They beat the 49ers. That's right. They beat the 49ers.
So and they're terrible.
The decimated 49ers.
And that, so there's not, I mean, think about this, Santiago. There's not one quality win from this division the entire year.
And there probably won't be, but when all is said and done.
There's not one. I mean, has any team, let's figure this out now, has any team in this division beaten a team that is above 500 or better?
No, not even at the time that they had beaten said
so
team.
Atlanta, so, well, Atlanta, sub 500.
Yeah, because, well, Atlanta, even at the time, that was week two. And remember, they lost in similar fashion, blowing a big lead in week one.
Right.
So Atlanta was already 0-1.
So, this division doesn't have a win against a team that's 500 or better.
Yep.
Wow. It's
pathetic. You want a representation of what 2020 is.
It's the NFC East. Yes. 2020 is the NFC East. But that is remarkable. But here's the thing. You're still excited by it. Like, you're still interested in this division.
Yeah, in the same way that you're interested in a car wreck in NASCAR. I gotta see that.
So what? But so what? You know what? If the Giants win this division at 6-10, or 7-9, if they get scalding hot down the stretch and get to 7 wins, should I be embarrassed by that? It's still a division win.
No, hey, listen, you get. I mean, I don't know if they hang banners for that, but if they did, you would get a banner.
You still call the champions of this division.
NFC East champions 2020. You would get that.
It really is unbelievable that this division is just so bad. And really, the Giants now, it was told to me that I thought Xavier McKinney was going to play, told to me that he's probably about 50-50 heading into this game, and it's certainly no guarantee that he's going to be able to suit up against
the
Bengals.
You shouldn't need him.
No, of course not. I mean, you don't even know what he is, so you shouldn't need him. If you're the Giants and you lose this game, all hell breaks loose. Really. I mean, it's pandemonium, because you've now lost a game that you've embarrassed yourselves. You're 3-8, and then you're done. Right, there's no pipe dream of, well, if you come back and you compete against Baltimore and you got Dallas week 17 and maybe you can beat Cleveland or Arizona, forget it. If you go out there and you're the Giants and you can't find a way to win this game, and you've had a better version of Daniel Jones,
it's going to be so much fun though if that happens.
You would love that, right?
No, but because Philly's going to lose to Seattle, they're going to get creamed, right?
You would figure
we're all in agreement with that. So Washington would be on top of the division with how many games left? Would that be 5 games?
5 games left, Washington would have a half-game lead, yes. And but, not that it matters, tiebreaker stance, but they would have beaten Philadelphia.
Right. And the Giants would have swept Washington. Washington
Correct.
Would have swept Philadelphia. So, I mean...
No, Washington, Philly must play week 17, right?
That's right. They've got to be the week 17 matchup. Correct. But I just want chaos at this point.
Well,
I do kind of want chaos.
Chaos.
Not so much because, I want to see your reaction, what it's going to be on Monday, Tuesday,
You would love
whichever.
That, though.
But like, listen, that would be good for the show.
Tell me you wouldn't. No, it's not good for the show for the Giants to lose to the Bengals and to have their season evaporate. It's good for the show for the Giants to win and compete for this division title throughout December.
Having you turn back into a raging animal would be good for the
animal.
Show.
I am telling you, if the Giants lose to the Bengals on Monday morning, you're going to have no holds barred, raving lunatic Rothenberg, if that's what you're looking for.
And this is why I'm kind of rooting for it. Although unlikely, I think the Giants are going to win and win pretty easily.
They better win this game.
But it would be extremely entertaining to have that the next day.
It really would be awful. It would be absolutely awful. How great would it be if week 17 was for the division? Giants,
for a
Cowboys,
couple of 3-4
win flex
teams.
It. Flex it to Sunday night.
Oh, my God.
Let
Could you imagine if that
watch
game got flexed to Sunday night football? Oh
as the
goodness.
Winner of the Giants and the Cowboys battles it out for the NFC East. How great would that be?
And you go into 2021 with that. Oh, my God.
Here's some news on the Steelers. Mike Tomlin is canceling practice again today as the Steelers await more information on the status of Sunday's game against the Ravens. I don't know how they play this game. I really don't. I mean, they've shut down the facility in Baltimore. They have numerous guys. And did you hear that was it their trainer that I guess was just, getting himself into all sorts of trouble as far as COVID is concerned and not wearing a mask and not properly social distancing, and they're going to take real, real heavy actions against him. I imagine he's going to be fined heavily, but it sounds like he's kind of the culprit here with this whole thing, but it is now rampant throughout Baltimore. So how do you say that you care if you're the NFL and then play that game on Sunday? I mean, Lamar Jackson tests positive yesterday. You have tons of guys within the organization who have already tested positive, and you're going to play the game in 48 hours? It makes no sense. If you really care about what you say you do, which I don't think many of us think that they do, but if you really care about the safety and well-being of your players and coaching staff and members of the team, you can't play the game. I'm sorry. You have to postpone it. If it means that they can never play that game, if you don't want to add a week 18 and they can never play that game and you got to go by winning percentage, it stinks. I get it, but so be it. And that's kind of the position that we sit here right now. So we know about the NFC East. It's a disaster, but it's a disaster that's trending positive for the Giants. Steelers-Ravens is a disaster and certainly may not be played on Sunday. And Sam Darnold will, in fact, start for the Jets on Sunday against Miami. Santiago, let me ask you. Still alive in my survivor pool. A lot of stress. Do I take Dolphins or do I take Browns-Jaguars? Mike Glennon going to start in that game.
I would feel more comfortable with the Browns, to be honest.
Really?
Who are the Dolphins playing this?
The Jets.
The Jets. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Browns. They just
you
have...
think so?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. If I took the Browns and they lost, I would be furious with you.
Well, why are you asking my opinion if that's the case?
Well, because I'm
if you're willing to, if you're willing to go out there and make the pick based on my opinion, why would you get mad at me if it doesn't go the way you want?
Because I think that's Monday morning quarterback.
Do you,
at its finest.
Do you think that highly of me?
I think tremendously of you.
I'm dubious at best.
No, you're on the Mount Rushmore people at the station. You're definitely there for me. You and I have worked a long time together.
It's been a lot of years.
Years together. We used to hold down 5-hour shows at night together.
Those were fun times.
Oh, my goodness. We do a 20-minute segment. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. You better hurry. You got a 2-minute break. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. Fun times.
Yeah.
Fun times.
5 hours. All right. 800-919-3776. We continue with your calls. We're going to make our picks. I guess Rick is going to join us next. So we'll get his take on Thanksgiving, how he's feeling the day after the Washington and Dallas game, a little analysis of that, and we'll get to our picks. So you have Canty's picks ready to go, right?
Correct.
I'm going to get mine done in a moment. Rick's going to make his, and then we can watch those as week, week 12? Wow, goes quickly, of the NFL season rolls along. 800-919-3776. Rothenberg with you solo on DCR. Now we've taken over Barton Hahn as well on 98.7 ESPN. All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. So, Rothenberg solo, it's Black Friday. Here's the schedule today, because I know you're interested and love the station and want to know what's going on. So Ian O'Connor, who's a terrific host. Ian used to host Sunday morning shows for us, and I would do like, I think 6 to 9 on Sunday mornings, and Ian would pop in, and we'd have a great conversation for like the 5 minutes the show's crossed over, and just a salt of the earth guy. He comes your way noon to 3, and then 3 o'clock, it's Rosenberg solo. God help us all on the Michael Kay Show. So a lot going on, 800-919-3776. And look at this. We've rolled out one of the members of DCR for our football picks, Rick DiPietro. Happy Thanksgiving, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. Not as good as you. And that's why, listen, I actually made a phone call to the higher-ups and said, you know what, I was going to do the show Friday with Dave because, you know, how much I love you. But then the fact that the Washington football team wins and all of a sudden – we have the Giants with the opportunity to take over first place by beating the Cincinnati Bengals. I said, no, I'll take a step back. This is Dave's day to shine.
I appreciate it greatly. So did you eat your face off yesterday? You must have gone crazy, right?
This is no word of a lie. From the second I woke up in the morning, so around I woke up, worked out, 7 a.m., started cooking. I didn't stop cooking until the second we sat down, which was like at 3 o'clock yesterday.
So you cooked for 8 hours.
8 straight hours.
Wow. And did you must have eaten like nonstop, I would imagine.
Nonstop. I made a mistake, and this is just typical. I mean, the mistake I make is I get too excited. So I peaked too early. I ate like 57 stuffed mushrooms, and then it was too much.
And then you couldn't go heavy with the turkey? Is that what happened?
Well, then I had to take a break, and then I want some turkey, and then I want some more stuffing, and I want some green bean casserole. And I was like, let me take my foot off the gas here for a second. And then I was like, well, I can't stop eating the stuffing. And then the pumpkin pie comes out, and then the apple pie comes out.
I know. It was terrible. I actually had to excuse myself and go lie down.
I almost got to that point. I was
online on my bed, and it's repulsive. And I'm thinking to myself, what have I done? I'm a dog. Like, you know, dogs, if you spill dog food, they'll eat it until they become sick. That's what I was like yesterday. That's unhealthy. Why would I do that?
You're not by yourself because we look forward to it, man. I mean, this is This is why you spend all that time cooking it or watching your wife cooking in your case.
Yeah. How was the cornbread, by the way?
How was the cornbread, by the way?
Oh. Best of Westchester cornbread.
That's what you said. I just wanted to know
if I ever saw you, I would bring some in for you, but that's not going to happen.
You'll never see me.
By the way, this portion of DCR, 98.7 ESPN, driven by your local Lexus dealer. The Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, giving your control and confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See your Lexus dealer for details. By the way, how bad was Dallas and Mike McCarthy yesterday? Have you ever seen worse than that?
Have I ever seen worse? No, I can't say.
What are they doing?
I have no idea. I mean, the 4th and inches. I mean that
to throw like they. If you would have just watched that play, you would have thought that was 3rd and 7.
No, you would have never known. You would have had no idea. And I get the offensive line's banged up and everything else, but I mean, you still do have Ezekiel Elliott.
But when you had 4th and inches later in the game, just I think later in the quarter, you did a quarterback sneak and you easily got it.
Yeah, you try to get cute.
Oh,
the guy was actually open on the fake punt. I mean, I know Santiago's head was going to explode
at that point. What are you doing? Why would you do that? I have no idea.
I have no idea. Those are plays I would like to see the Jets try because they're playing for nothing. Not when you're like, this is a game for first place. You're at your own 25-yard line.
And it's a 4-point game. And it's not like you're going up against the 83 Chargers. I mean, the Washington offense is fine. They're nothing
and
special.
And it's 4th and 10. You got to pick up 10.
I know. As they were running it, I'm like, what? I had that moment of like, wait, do I not know like what down it is? This has to be me. I've had too much casserole. I don't understand. No, they went for it on 4th and 10.
Yeah, they went on it. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They went for it.
They went for it on the
You can't explain it. You could not explain that.
No. But it puts us in prime position. Now, this is what the listeners are tweeting me, and Santiago said, I don't think you want this. To watch the Giants lose this game on Sunday and have me go crazy on Monday?
No.
Or win the game on Sunday and then have more meaningful football moving forward?
Well, I don't think you'll go crazy. That's what the people need to understand.
No. If the Giants lose this game on Sunday, crazy.
I think you want to believe you'll go crazy.
Crazy.
Like all of a sudden, like you're back, like the old Dave is back. But I just feel like, I mean, from what I've seen from this Dave over the last couple of years, there's no more crazy. It's more just dead inside.
But they've brought me to life a little bit now. They've given me a charge. I mean, they're alive. There's a good chance that they're going to be in first place heading into week 13. If they lose a game to Brandon Allen in Cincinnati.
Don't say it. Don't even say it.
No, I don't. I'm not going to talk it into existence. But I would be enraged on Monday morning.
Coming off a bye, knowing this game is for first place. There should be no ifs, ands, or buts.
Two straight wins. Played well. Quarterback's looking good. Team is fully engaged. If you go out there and lay, and it would be like an ostrich egg. This would be no normal egg. If you lay an egg in this one, I'd be incensed on Monday.
Yeah, I don't see. I'm so confident. I'm taking the Giants in our picks. That's how confident I am.
I am as well.
Cassie's dad asked me if you take the Giants. I said, I don't know. He doesn't usually like to take the Giants.
But you know what? I'm all in now. How could I not be? Cincinnati is not good to begin with. Their only piece that you looked at and scared you was Joe Burrow. So they don't have him. Then you look at their starting running back, Joe Mixon. They don't have him. Giovanni Bernard is not going to play in this game. I mean, how could you not win this game?
No, now you're stop saying it, all right? Just stop saying it. You're right. They had 11 yards when Joe Burrow went down. I think they had 11 yards after he got hurt. I would imagine that's a pretty somber facility right now.
The team
is bad. You lose Joe Burrow, which was the only reason why the team was exciting to watch in the first place. You traded your best. I mean, Carlos Dunlap is in Seattle. Yeah, I mean, this is the Giants are playing for everything. The Bengals are playing for nothing.
Well, I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you, though.
You just talked yourself into being nervous. I was all fired up coming in, and you just made me nervous.
No, you shouldn't take it. I feel good about this. Do you think that they're going to play this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game on Sunday?
Who? If Baltimore is smart, no smart. I mean, it's in Baltimore's best interest, and I'm not just saying because they don't have Lamar Jackson, but just in general. Because if this thing does end up getting postponed, that would mean, unless they start moving a lot of stuff around, that we're going to be in a week 18, no?
Right. Or they don't play it, I guess.
Well, if they don't play it, but week 18 would mean now all of a sudden 8 teams make the playoffs, which is in Baltimore's best interest.
And then Pittsburgh really gets screwed.
Really gets screwed because now they don't have the bye.
Right.
I can't imagine. I mean, I've heard forfeit, but could you really have Baltimore forfeit?
There's no way they're going to have them forfeit the game. There's no chance that happens.
Well, I mean, you said that. You say that, and how many people said there's no chance you're postponing a Thursday night Thanksgiving football game? And they did it.
Yeah, but that to me was a stretch. This to me would be shocking. I mean, they didn't have Tennessee forfeit a game when they could have had them forfeit a game.
No, I know, but now they're at a point where they can't move. Like now, you're forcing the NFL's hand. Especially if it's a strength coach that's not, you know, reporting symptoms and not wearing a mask. So this is self-inflicted. And now it's going to force the NFL to, you know, to have a Week 18, which it sounds like they don't want to do.
Well, they clearly don't. And they were moving ahead full steam.
It's really in Pittsburgh. I know you got tweets from, you know, Ebron and Chase Claypool all fired up that this game got postponed. It's actually in their best interest. Like, if you're Pittsburgh, you're trying to go 16-0, the last thing you would want to have is play this game and then someone from Baltimore passes it on to Pitt, and now one of the Steelers or a bunch of the Steelers have to miss the next game because they get it. You know what I mean? That's the last thing the Steelers would want.
It feels like we have sadly gotten to that point that we were all fearful for, right? Like college basketball, you're like, this is not happening. That game's not being played. This is not going to happen. College football is a disaster with this. NFL is getting there now. I mean, we had heard about this months ago, Rick, that we would get to the end of the year and it was going to ratchet up and be really bad, and we thought, well, maybe not, hopefully not, but it is, and here we are again.
Yeah, but I mean, is this the point now where you just decide as the NFL, like, it's getting so bad? I mean, you just had Denver, Cleveland, I mean, it's ravaging Baltimore.
Miles Garrett not playing again this week.
Then maybe you this is the opportunity now to sit down and say, hey, maybe we go into a bubble now just to make sure we get the rest of the season in?
Listen, I think that it's an interesting plan, but I mean, that's a lot of people in a bubble. You know, we talk about NBA, and it's all
I'm saying each team. Each team. This feels like a lot of these people that are getting these is because they're just going home. And whoever they live with, kids going to school, whatever it is.
So just go hotel and to the stadium, and that's it?
I mean, I can understand early on you're complaining about it because it's 17 weeks. But now, I mean, we're in week 12. Like, do you want to get paid? Do you want to play these games? Like, maybe now you just suck it up and just...
Yeah,
hotel, the facility,
you are down
and back.
The home stretch. I think you have to do it for the postseason, right?
Yeah, but at this rate, we're not going to get to a postseason.
Yeah, no, it's
the
bad.
Way this is headed.
It certainly is bad. All right, are you ready? Hopefully these games will be played to make our NFL picks.
I am ready, my man. Let's do it.
All right, Santa, you got any special music? There's the special music. All right. Our standings are as follows. Rick, off a 1-2 week last week, is 15-17. And one. I am 14-18, so not way far behind you, like within distance to catch you. And Canty is 12-21, so that is really brutal. He's 12-21.
You're so bad.
I can't be 14-18. I must be 14-19. Let me see. I went 1-2, 13-4. Yeah, I'm 14-19. So I'm two games in the loss column behind you. God, he's 12-21. All right. So, as always, you're leading the way. Do you want to go first, second, or third?
Well, let's just do Candy's picks because he phoned him in.
Literally, he phoned him in.
Yeah, he phoned him in. So let's just do Candy's picks first, and then me and you will go.
All right, Santiago, you should have Chris Canty's picks. Would you like to pop on and give those for the audience?
Sure. I'll need to pull them up on the phone.
I'll take your time. I mean, you're in no rush. No,
you want me to do them? I have them on my phone. Santy sent it to me. You want me to do them?
No, I don't want you to have to do the picks if you want to go last. I'll go first. We talked about this game all day. We've talked about the fact that the Giants are in position to be in first place at the end of the week. I'm buying in. I'm pushing my chips, as a Giants coach once said, to the middle of the table. And I'm going to take the Giants and lay the 6 on the road in Cincinnati. I don't know what Brandon Allen is. I don't know who Brandon Allen is, to be honest with you. I think the Giants are a touchdown better than Cincinnati. I think that will be proven on Sunday, and I'll take the Giants and lay the 6. My second pick. This feels too easy, which makes me nervous, but I'm going to take it anyway.
I know who it is.
Who am I taking?
You love this team. You're in love with this team.
No, I don't know that.
Because what you saw And you said it with such confidence last week. You went head-to-head with Canty. You took it with such confidence.
No, you're not there. Nope.
No?
No, I'm going to go to New England.
Oh.
And I'm going to take Arizona and lay the two.
I hate that pick.
Do you good? I mean, I know Kyler Murray is banged up, but New England is. I mean, they had one chance. They let it get away. They're done. I know Sonny Michel's going to come back, but Arizona's not bad, and they need
no
this
Larry
game.
Fitzgerald. By the way,
yeah, that doesn't worry me all that much. And they still got Hopkins. They still have Kirk. Isabella's fine. I will take Arizona and lay the two on the road in New England.
That's how I know you're not sure about it. They got Isabella. Stop. Stop it.
Andy Isabella, he could put up numbers, baby. And lastly,
he's a player.
First time out, Indianapolis was better. But I don't think you're going to get to Tennessee twice in the same season. Indianapolis coming off a very emotional win, big win at home against Green Bay. I get Tennessee and I get 3 points, and they came off a tremendous victory over Baltimore. Derrick Henry does what Derrick Henry does. So I'll take Tennessee plus the 3 on the road in Indianapolis. Giants minus 6, Arizona minus 2, Tennessee plus 3.
Wow. Santa, you got those picks? You want me to go?
I will give you Chris's picks. And I don't. I'm not going to give you all the analysis.
No, I need analysis. I don't want you just to rip them off. I want full analysis.
I did not get analysis, so I don't want to speak for Chris. I can only give you the picks that he had.
All right.
So he's got the Dolphins minus 7 at the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the Saints minus 5.5 at the Broncos.
Hopefully they play
actually,
that game.
That's actually 6, by the way. But
it's actually 6. Well, he sent this on Wednesday. So
okay.
You got to give him the benefit on that,
six
on that one.
6 it is.
What's the line for Buffalo?
The Buffalo Bills are currently giving
5.5.
5.5 versus the Chargers in Buffalo, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
He will take the Buffalo Bills minus 5.5, was it?
Yes.
5.5.
Versus
what are you?
You're
acting like Canty. What is it? 5.5? Can I get 4?
Listen, I don't have the lines in front of me. I have his message in front of me, and I'm going by that. And again, he sent this at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. So
yeah, like
just want to be clear.
It's very nice, very cute.
I want to make sure there's no confusion on this.
Miami minus 7, New Orleans minus 6, Buffalo minus 5.5. I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, by the way, Rick. Ira from Staten Island called. He said the Jets are going to win this game against Miami.
I feel like the game could be close. I feel like the game could be close.
And your guy Sam Darnold will be starting for the Jets.
Which is nice. I mean, it gives me a reason to actually watch this game.
Yep, your winless Jets. All right, what are your picks?
Listen, let's keep it nice and competitive. Keep me excited.
Yep,
keep me on the edge of my seat. And then just...
All right, question for you now.
Yes.
Jacksonville finishes early, and they have won 21-13 over Cleveland.
Does your rooting interest
in the Jets ratchet up because of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not even a question.
All right,
I'm also going to take the Giants. I'll lay the 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, I love this Giants team coming out of the bye. My next pick, this may surprise you a little bit, because I'm not usually one to trust this team, but Mike Glennon stinks, let's be honest. He's going to start for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to take the Brownies, and I'll lay the 6.5.
Ooh.
I know you don't like that pick, do you?
Cleveland, you know what? I'm always nervous with Cleveland, and they've played well, so maybe it's unfounded. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, because they can run the football. I trust Chubb and Kareem Hunt to be able to run the football.
They're terrific running backs.
Yeah, and I don't think Jacksonville's that good. And then for my final pick, David, this is where I really separate myself from you in a segment that I really hate and would have honestly usually no interest in participating in. I am taking the Las Vegas Raiders. Knock on wood if you're with me, Dave. Knock on wood if you're with me, and I'll lay the 3 points.
Wow. On the road in Atlanta, Raiders minus the 3. Well, I'm glad you joined me for a few minutes. I mean, it's quite the pleasure to have chatted with you for a couple minutes on the show.
I could not come on with you.
You big into leftovers today? You knee deep in turkey?
I'm knee deep in, yeah. I'm going to have some pumpkin pie maybe for breakfast here in a second.
Nice.
Brunch.
Nice.
Apple crisp.
Oh. A little whipped cream? Heavy in the whipped cream, right?
Heavy on the ice cream.
Nice. Nice.
Heavy on the ice cream.
Now, do you heat up the apple pie and then put the ice cream on it?
Yes, I do.
Nice. Well played.
A little melt.
All right. Well, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, David. Have a great weekend.
All right. Only if the Giants win will that be the case. That, of course, is the great Rick DiPietro. We're back at 8:55 on Monday morning as a trio. Quick break. Come back. Get to more of your calls and get you ready for Ian O'Connor on 98.7 ESPN. All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Ian O'Connor coming your way in just moments. In this portion of DCR on 98.7 ESPN, driven by your local Lexus dealer. The Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and the confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See your Lexus dealer. And SNY and 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune into SNY, the TV home of the Jets, for Jets postgame live with Bart Scott, Jonas Schwartz, and Gene Coakley following Sunday's game against the Dolphins. Catch the Jets' quote of the game, then tune into Bart and Han starting at 11 o'clock on Monday for your chance to win official Jets merchandise, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY. Jets postgame live only on SNY. Quickly, and let's do it quickly. Jeff in Long Island. Jeff, you're on 98.7
yeah.
ESPN.
Yeah, hi. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
So I'm a Jets fan who's definitely hoping that this tanking for Trevor is successful, but I have two questions. One, if Darnold plays better and they wins two games and removes them from the chance of getting Lawrence, do you think the Jets would still move on to Fields or the Alabama quarterback or keep Darnold? And the other question
My understanding is this. The two are at a different level than anybody else. So Fields or Lawrence, if you take yourself out of either of those guys and Darnold plays well, I guess you could. But honestly, that's the furthest thing from my mind right now when it comes to the Jets.
All right. The other question is, if the Jets are in position to get the first pick, if they lose the last game to New England, and New England is out of the playoff picture, do you think that Belichick would purposely lose to them to prevent them from getting Lawrence?
I don't know. I've heard that thrown out there, and I guess there's a chance, and that would be funny. Like, could you imagine that? Two teams, they just start taking knees. The first quarter, the Jets would take a knee, and New England would take a knee, and it would be a 3-0 game. I'd put nothing past Belichick. He cannot stand the Jets organization. All right, happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays. More than ever, be safe, be healthy. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I'm going to hand it over to Ian O'Connor, taking the next 3 hours into Peter at 3 o'clock. Have a great weekend, everybody, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.